Hello, Alf Donald. I said 8:05. I'm here, right? Relax, anyway. It's only school.
Well, this is not my average opening day. I'm about to walk the cool hallway. I usually go the long way through the library.
Would you ease up? I mean, I'm the one who's going to have to hold a press conference when we're sitting together, right?
Right.
Okay, now let's get this deal straight one more time. We only pretend to hang, right? No hand-holding, kissing, and I get my lunch hour off.
Well, that's not our deal. I need more return on my investment.
Well, there's no way I'm holding your hand in public.
I mowed 286 miles for you.
Okay, one lunch.
Through 5 days in a school week.
All right, Donald, two lunches.
Three lunches. And the pep rally on Friday.
Four lunches, that's it.
Okay, deal. Now, just remember, this is our sworn secret for life or longer. You promise.
Yeah, I promise. Anyway, how bad could it be, right? It's only for 1 week.
No, it's 1 month. 1 month.
Yeah, okay, 1 month.
Okay.
And now, coming to you from the CD Game Exchange Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
Is that the movie that gave us the immortal line, he's gone from geek to chic?
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah, thank you. I haven't seen, that's Can't Buy Me Love, Patrick Dempsey, right?
Oh, yeah, I love that movie.
Patrick Dempsey and some chick. Who's the girl? Do we know who she is?
No, she's really pretty, though.
Spanish, did nothing.
Let's see. Amanda Peterson.
Yeah, I don't even think I know who that is.
I don't think I ever saw her in anything else.
My ticket to nowhere. Can't Buy Me Love, fantastic.
I want a man who will ride me off in a lawnmower at the end of my life.
Isn't that, and they end, they literally drive.
She has a big cardboard picture of her football player boyfriend in her room.
They literally drive off into the sunset on a riding lawnmower, don't they?
They really do.
Like actually.
And they look at the moon and she writes a poem called Broken Moon.
Yeah. That's love. All right.
I've always wanted. Have you not ever wanted to go see the airplane graveyard, though?
80s style. Yes.
That is the coolest thing.
The airplane graveyard is also in Less Than Zero with Robert Downey Jr., I believe. Could be wrong about that, but I don't think I am.
I'm pretty sure it is.
All right. Well, we ought to do. Have we ever done a theme week with our movie introductions? I don't think we have. I think it's like whatever crap we can dig up at the last minute. We ought to do a theme week one of these days. We'll do like all bet. Here's what you should do. And this movie could start it off. Can't Buy Me Love with Patrick Dempsey and other girl. We could do 80s movies that seem like they ought to be John Hughes films, but aren't. Because I don't think that's a John Hughes film. I'm pretty sure that John Hughes had nothing to do with that movie, but it just apes every one of his moves relentlessly. All right. Why, hello. It's 4 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11 in this the month of August in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. It is Thursday, and welcome to Day 12. It is 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. You want to call us, you can do that with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you. Scotty J, standing by, ready, willing, and able to pass along your comments about the interesting, the groundbreaking, the tedious, the absurd, the mundane, or the downright retarded. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970 is our phone number. You want to email, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. You can also email the whole crew, the whole gang, the whole posse, as they say. Sarah@970.am, Tim@970.am, Scotty J@970.am, and I'm rick@rickemerson.com. Hello and howdy to you. All right, big show today. So much show that it's already straining at the seams. It's actually, it's not even just 10 pounds of mud in a 5 pound sack. It actually is so much mud. It can't even be quantified. The amount of the mud is actually beyond all human reckoning. We're actually at hectares of mud here. Scotty is typing out as we speak now the names of everybody who's scheduled to be on the show today. This is going to be like the Kimmel show. We're going to get to the end. I have to go, our apologies to Matt Damon. We didn't get to Matt Damon today. Except there's going to be like 9 people we won't have time for. Yes, and the captain and Tennille. Thank you. We're not really talking to the captain and Tennille. Thanks, Scott Baio. Now, Scotty, you've transcended from... And Dick Van Patten. Really? Scotty's just now typing. You're like you're doing the Brick Tamblyn thing. You're just typing random names from in the room with you. Yeah, okay. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Here's who was... do I have the CNN sheet in front of me?
I didn't even call CNN.
Ah,
I got distracted by that kiss picture. I suck.
Okay.
I'll call them right now.
All right. Okay. So let me just tell you, here's who we're attempting to book. Hey, do we want to listen in live to the booking? Who's going to find that interesting? The answer is everybody. All right. Well, let's listen live as Sarah Dillon books guests on...
No,
KCMD AM in Portland, Oregon.
Stop. Too much pressure.
No, I'll sit. I'll wait.
Hey, Richard, I'm late. I'm sorry. I was completely safe.
Sarah talking to Richard.
Okay.
You know.
And Rick thinks it's humorous to have this on the air as I'm booking you.
Hi, Richard.
He says hello, Rick.
Hi. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. We want to talk to Lisa Goddard today at 2:35 Eastern.
So this is booking the live shot so we don't conflict with other radio stations that are booking the reporters for the same time slot.
Is this as thrilling as you wished?
It is. It's and more. There's no words.
Can you hear him yelling in the background? Okay, he's a very loud boy.
Yeah.
He really doesn't.
So this is Sarah talking. Have you ever wondered how this operates? So this is
Mark Shearer.
We go through all of the stories that CNN is covering.
On the former NBA ref plea.
Like that NBA ref, who I think he copped a plea today. He's going to do like 150 grand in fines or something. I don't know if he's going to jail. And then we say, hey, how about that crazy Mark Shearer talking about the NBA ref? And then we look at the schedule, see if somebody else has already booked there for that time slot.
I'm sorry?
And
did he not show up?
Apparently Mark Shearer's drunk somewhere.
No. Rick just likes to pull the curtain back.
I'm sorry? Yeah. No, the audience finds this really interesting.
And 410, Jim Roop.
Booking Jim Roop.
Going around finding people to sing Elvis songs.
Jim Roop was out on the street with a microphone today, apparently finding people.
Oh, no, I haven't heard it yet. Is it hilarious?
Sing songs by the King.
I love Jim Roop.
This is the small talk and banter.
We're going to have to fly you out next time.
See, listen to that. Listen to that schmoozing. Listen to how Sarah is, with every syllable leaving her mouth, ingratiating us further into the warm news bosom of CNN.
Can we do 250? Thanks. 250.
250.
That'll do it.
Apparently, there's somebody who had
conflict. All right,
conflict.
Thank you, Richard.
We are not moving the time, so somebody's not going to be able to do the appointed time, so she's moved it.
Okay.
Hi, what do we know?
We got everyone.
Fantastic.
I love talking to Richard. He's so refreshing.
He is. He's great. No, I dig that guy. Him and Tyler both.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We got Lisa Goddard coming up today at 11:30. We're going to be talking to Lisa Goddard about... Well, because it's not just Rove who's leaving. Now, Dennis Hastert is leaving, too. And somebody else. Who is it? Oh, Deborah Price of Ohio. It's just a man that rats off the Titanic at that place. Jim Roop apparently wandering around asking people to sing Elvis songs for no readily apparent reason.
Richard said it's very, very funny.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, because Roop just has that seething, low-grade contempt for humanity that just comes out of every one of his pores. Apparently, I will also find a way to inject O.J. Simpson into the conversation, because that's what I do. So it's not that he copped a plea, this NBA ref. It's bail, actually. 250 grand. 250 large bail after pleading guilty Wednesday to two felonies related to wagering on professional basketball games. So we'll find out about that. I still want to know if he's turned in other guys and if there's going to be a bunch of people like storming the sports book in Vegas to try to get their cash back that they may have lost on a game in which points were shaved and things were fixed. All right, Lisa Goddard coming up today. Jim Roop. Mark Shearer, Storm Large, going to be joining us in the studio later on today. I think
many tentative guests.
many guests hanging by the barest rudiments of a thread today.
Can we do ours at 11:45?
Ours? You mean the secret one?
Yeah.
Are we talking about...
yes.
What is that thing, Johnny Bravo Sierra? Are you talking about Mongo Mongo?
Yes. Should I say yes?
Really? Well, hold on. This is the worst start to a show ever. Hi, I'm Rick, by the way. Sarah's here, so is Tim. Let's all stop now. Now, we just booked Lisa Goddard at 11:35, and we have Mark Shearer at 11:50.
Well, let's just move Mark.
So, the secret guest you're talking about is available at 11:45?
Yes.
For the love of... I hate to do this. Oh, and by the way, our sound effect machines are all down today. Our sound effects machines and Tim's news machine, none of them working.
Mine works.
Yeah, but none of ours do. I'm trying... Thank you. That'll just be the one sound effect we've got for, let me just hold on. Let me,
Scotty J. I wish I knew how to.
I'm already tired.
Please, can I kiss you on the mouth? Please.
I really could use a good kiss on the mouth.
Good morning, Metolia.
Oh, it's just sort of relax me a little bit. Who wants to relax me? No, I was doing a whole... I was trying to do Kevin Pollock or Pollard or whatever his name is in...
Stop
in,
trying to pawn your creepiness off on somebody.
That thing you do? Who wants to hit me? You're going to hit me? Who's that guy? Is it Kevin Pollock? Pollard? No one knows what I'm talking about. Hi, Scotty. How are you today?
Good morning, McMinnville.
Yeah, that's lame.
You got me off guard.
You suck.
No, I want to wish McMinnville a good morning.
All right, Scotty.
We have a whole list of guests there, a mixed bag.
Quit. Now you're just insane. He wrote Prince on the screen. You want Prince at 115.
We got Gomer Pyle in there, too.
Stop it. All right. Scotty, so here's the deal.
I love deals. Let's make one.
Stop. Here's the deal. We have Storm coming in today, 2 o'clock.
Awesome.
I know Adam Schlesinger, those guys are getting in late. Their schedule is crunchy. What from Fountains of Wayne, what do we know about that?
Looks like they're going to still go through with this.
What
so
time?
I'm not exactly sure because their plane is delayed a little bit.
Or okay, so it wouldn't be during this time.
So it would not be in this hour.
Let's hope not. And I know that we are right back.
So. And I know that we're trying to finalize some details with Peter Criss. What do you think about that?
He should be real soon, actually.
Is that this hour?
It's supposed to be this hour, yes.
Okay.
Nah.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, you know how these people are.
All right. So, Scotty, so we are springing now another mystery guest on you.
Maybe I'll have to bump another guest to a different time or something.
That might be possible. So here's what's happening this hour. We will talk to Lisa Goddard briefly at the bottom of the hour. Later on, we will talk to Jim Roop. Can I announce it?
Yeah. I haven't said it yet. I mean, should I tell him?
Let's say yes. We have just had another mystery guest, Scotty, offered to us moments ago.
Love it.
You don't even know who it is yet. You will never guess in a million years who somebody has just contacted us about.
I will.
Okay, guess.
Yes.
Barry Manilow.
No. Wrong.
Singer.
No. Quit guessing. Yes.
Yes.
No.
Male.
No penis.
No.
Jessica Simpson.
Astonishingly close.
Wow.
Really, that was amazing. That's like a You Sunk My Battleship moment there.
It's kind of like my battleship just sunk when you said no. But anyway, I don't know.
Astonishingly close, though, with Jessica Simpson.
Lindsay Lohan.
Wrong direction.
They're all in the same direction.
No,
aren't they?
No, no, no. This girl's one in a million.
Well, it wouldn't be Britney, would it? Is she trying to make a comeback?
No, again, you're going in the wrong direction on the sleaze scale. Go the opposite direction on the sleazograph. Oh, come on, you've got a daughter.
Think of a good girl. That's too easy.
Is it the gal that's on like the Disney Channel, maybe?
I don't think she was on
yes,
the Disney Channel.
Yes, that one.
Blonde?
She was blonde at
one point.
I can't even think of her name right now.
Could you vague this up? Mandy Moore.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not Sarah.
Mandy Moore?
How?
We will be speaking, because we're people who make things happen
How
in this room,
Scotty. How
did
it surpass the Booker?
Here's the thing, Scotty. There's that room down the hall.
I guess so. Your phones are better than mine or something. I don't know.
There's this room here. In this room, we get things done, Scotty. I don't know what goes on in that room
Scotty
down the hall.
Oh, Scotty is working hard.
You guys are shakers.
I know. I don't know what goes on in your office, Scotty, but here...
Well, it's kind of cramped in there.
Let me just say this, Scotty. This coffee over there...
I made that.
It's for closers. For closers only. You want to work here, you close. Get their names to close them. So in a few minutes, later on in the hour, about 11:45, we will be talking to singer, actress Mandy Moore, who I dig. Really, sincerely, I'm into her because she was on Entourage. She did that whole story arc on Entourage.
She dated, and I loved it because she played herself, too, which is awesome.
And I mean, she's carved out kind of a niche for herself, you know, as sort of the good girl.
And I guess you're right. She has chose the unsleazy path right now.
Well, and let me just tell you this. In your wildest imaginings, did you ever think you would hear me use the phrase, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, Mandy Moore?
No, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I got to give you props to that.
So, but do you see what I'm saying? Where it really is, we are in a foxhole mentality today, Scotty.
It's kind of nuts.
We have the Fountains of Wayne guys. That is tenuous, but we think it's going to happen. We have Peter Criss. I mean, I know that we're still waiting to confirm with that, but the slots are filling up here. So they gotta get it buttoned up with you because we are running out of available slots. And I know his people are still waiting to get back to you. So that's, you know, they gotta anyway. So we've got Peter Criss, Storm Large, Mandy Moore, possibly the Fountains of Wayne guy, and 3 CNN correspondents. Oh, and by the way, an hour full of news. And me talking.
Oh, no.
There you go. Ah, best show ever. All right. Thank you, Scotty. All right. So are we going to move Mark Shearer?
Yes.
Well, we'll have to do it now because if she's on the warm line, he'll be beeping on the other line.
Yeah.
So, Scotty.
Should we just cancel him?
Yeah. Can Scotty, can you call? Does he have the CNN contact info? Scotty, can you please cancel with Mark Shearer? Would you apologize and tell Mark Shearer we will not be able to get to him? It is our loss, certainly. But our loss is Mandy Moore's gain. All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Breaking news. The president's daughter, Jenna Bush. We don't know if that's a good one or the bad one.
No, no. She's...
She's the blonde one. Or she's the big one.
She's the one...
Is engaged to be married.
Oh. That's less interesting.
I thought she had a DUI or something.
No, she's the one that looks like Brandy Taylor.
Oh, I have other things.
Okay.
Oh, is this my time?
Yes, it is.
This is your time.
I completely skipped over the introduction of Sarah because we just spent 5 minutes geeking out about Mandy Moore.
Okay. Well, let me finish these. A Eugene man tries to commit suicide by hanging himself from a crane, but fails when the rope snaps.
Oh.
Yeah. Those two butt-spanking brats from McMinnville will go on trial. A Longview woman is charged with having her kids steal from Goodwill. A Kansas City man who couldn't afford his wife's medical bills throws her from the balcony to her death. Or her death. A lock-picking monkey makes another escape from a Mississippi zoo. Mexican drug cartels are growing pot in Oregon. And Oregon seniors are... running away to Mexico?
Fantastic.
Because they can't afford to live here.
All right, then. There you go. All that and...
Mandy
Moore.
I hate you.
No, it's just... I mean, it's fantastic. I'm just...
No, I can't believe we both made the same lame joke at the same time.
Oh, I wasn't even making a joke. I was just
using you were saying all that and more.
Oh, like much more. All that and more.
That's what I was doing.
No, I didn't even think that. Well done. Okay, let's just take a moment here. Just going to take a moment. Take a moment to relax. Wait, hold on. Wait, okay, Sarah, I'm going to play my Zen music.
Okay.
All right, hold on. We're just going to... taking a moment. Try to mellow out. Get things under control. Trying to find my center. In through the nose, out through the mouth. As soon as the little Japanese style chimes kick in, I'll be okay. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by today. 503-733-2970. Calls to get to already. We have some... Oh, what else is happening today? Are we in the midst of all this, we're doing another giveaway of Kissology Volume 2 on DVD. We got that today. And we will try to continue our hunt for the second worst story ever. We have a monkey watch coming up today. Tim talked about that. Penis watch on the way as well. And by the way, I'd like to thank whoever did this. I got my first in a series of ongoing issues of SkyMall magazine today. Someone has subscribed to me to the SkyMall catalog. Because I was talking about how I thought it was the only airline
only. That is written all over it.
Maybe, I guess. Because I thought you could only get it on the airplane. I didn't know.
I use my Hot Diggity Dogger every day, too, and it's the greatest thing. Oh, so good.
Fantastic. So I didn't think it was a thing you could actually subscribe to. I thought it was some deal they had with the airplane people, you know, the airline folks, that you had to get on the airplane to get SkyMall. But no, I received SkyMall in the mail. So fantastic. Now my paychecks can be gone before... It ought to be like one of those... it ought to be like one of those gambling places where I can just cash my paycheck with the SkyMall people. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, Storm Large, Mandy Moore, Adam Schlesinger from Fountains of Wayne, Peter Chris, Tim Riley. That is all coming up today. Let's get some of these phone calls as we begin today's program. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, hey, just trying to stave off a nervous breakdown today.
Hey, Can't Buy Me Love brought us the African anteater dance.
Oh, yes. I almost played the African anteater ritual.
Well spotted,
which,
sir.
Which I do believe is now a popular hip-hop dance, popular with the kids.
You have never sounded whiter in your life than at this moment.
You like that?
I don't even really know much about your life, but I'll guarantee you this is the whitest you've ever sounded.
You know who's the choreographer for that? Choreographer?
Paula Abdul?
Yes.
I only know that because Paula Abdul's the choreographer for everything. Her or Tony Basil? Like Tony Basil did the choreography for That Thing You Do. Every movie you ever saw in the 80s and the 90s, choreography by Paula Abdul or Tony Basil. One of the two. So, excellent. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. All right, Bill. Let's see. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, I know you guys are pressed for time today, but I really want to say something sincere, and I don't want to just add to the frivolity. Yesterday you had some people or a guy call up and say you guys are full of yourselves, you know?
Oh, yeah, that guy was calling up. He called us pre, and if Scotty typed it like the artist Madonna, pre-Madonnas, which I guess would mean that we are Marianne Faithful. But, yes, he called us pre-Madonnas.
Yeah, well, I just want to say, I used to be a bartender, and I switched careers, and I really missed the conversations I used to have in the little bar I worked in.
Uh-huh.
And your show is like a terrific shift in one of those bars, you know, where I listen to, and so I feel compelled to call, and sometimes I can't help it, and I have about a 75% batting average, but you guys always let me through, and you always let all of your callers through, and I think if there's any sign that you guys are not full of yourselves is how much you care about the people who listen to you, and I just want to say thanks.
Well, excellent. Well, thank you, sir.
Nice.
And there's no way to respond to that without sounding corny and cheesy and you know, whatever.
Well,
but
well, don't
you
even
know.
Respond, dude. Just take it and know that, you know, I summer's coming to an end. I'm a school teacher, and I won't be able to listen to you except for podcasts, and I'll miss it, and I just want to say thanks.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you for being out there. I mean that. Spread the word, please.
Oh, always.
All right. Thank
Bye.
You, my friend. There you go. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Rick, I am Jeff,
yes.
And I am in Cannon Beach, and I can hear you.
Really?
Yes.
Jeff, you just drive around all day, don't you?
I certainly do.
It's become an ongoing thing where people call us, I think those DXers in Iceland who send us a postcard and a cassette tape, is people driving around telling us the outer limits of our footprint.
I can hear it, yes. And pleased to be playing more of Crockett's theme.
Well spotted, sir. Somebody just emailed me. They're like, that sounds very much like something that might have been on Miami Vice. And it actually is Crockett's theme by composer Jan Hummer.
Jan Hummer. Off of Miami Vice 2, is it not?
Tool. Is it?
The
is it really?
Number 2, yes.
You know, let me just tell you this. Can you tell me the name of the hip-hop artist who was on Miami Vice 1, the soundtrack from Miami Vice 1, who sang the song Vice?
Gosh, that was an awful, awful song.
Yes.
I can't, but I remember the song very well.
That'd be Grandmaster Melly Mel.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye now. All right. Pwned. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Don't say that.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
Hi. Apparently, I can't say pwned. Can I say for the win? What's up, sir?
Well, hey, man. I know you don't want to do the interview, and so I would love to volunteer to interview Captain Antonio tomorrow. I'm not even lying. I'll totally do it.
Really?
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
You know, it's at 7 a.m.
Yeah, I promise I won't drink tonight. I'll be there at 6:30 sharp. We'll get it going. We'll get it done. I'll play it straight. And, you know, seriously, like, you kind of owe me after throwing me under the bus with Jack Scalia. I'm told I was ready for that.
Is this the guy who called in and you were on hold, Jack Scalia called up, and then I was like, you got to pretend to be me, and then, of course, the phones were sort of misaligned, and you couldn't, you were not able to hear the cue to go.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Scotty, is it still possible to book the Captain and Tennille interview, or has the Captain set sail? Has that ship sailed? You know what I'm... There's a joke there. You know what I'm trying to do.
Oh, yeah.
Who
yeah,
knows?
All
right.
That was a joke.
No, I'll
totally do it, man. I would love to do it. I'll play Rick Emerson. I'll play it straight. It'll be a good interview.
You seem strangely desperate to interview the Captain and Tennille as me.
Well, no, it would be fun, you know, and if it ends up being a train wreck, then you can make fun of me all day. I'll totally throw myself under the bus on that. But, no, I will play it straight. It'd be fun. I would love to do it.
Well, hold on just a second. Scotty, what do you suppose the odds are that we, at this late date, could book the Captain and Tennille interview for tomorrow for Chad? 2%, without even hesitating. He typed 2%. Do me a favor. Drop me an email so I have your address. If I will have Scotty look into this, if you are able, if we are able to do this, we'll get in touch. I don't feel good about it at this point, but if it does turn out to be possible, I'll get in touch with you.
All right. Well, dude, I actually don't have email. I'm at work all day. I'm
don't have
on the
email.
Show.
You live in a cave? Well, Rick, I live in a tree, and I listen to you over a coconut radio.
No, I rent a room, and money's tight. I just haven't been able to hook it up yet. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't have the internet either.
Would you like some night train, sir, past those long, lonely nights?
No, I gave that up about 10 years ago, man.
Right.
I drink wine and
Well, be listening on the air. We'll announce if the Captain
right.
and Neil interview is possible. Thank you.
All right, you bet you,
man. There you go.
Got a break.
All right, got a break. Why? Lisa Goddard followed by Mandy Moore. That's pandering to the male demographic right there. Lisa Goddard, Mandy Moore. Bam! Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show.
If I've ever heard one.
It's 503-733-2970.
Man, you should hear her cover of Umbrella.
Mandy Moore.
It is beautiful.
You know a phrase that I never thought I would hear in my life right now? I was talking to somebody on the other line. And they're like, well, what time is going to work best for you? And I said, well, you know what? I'm talking to Mandy Moore in a few minutes. So I will probably be done with Mandy Moore at about 10 till. Which is not really one of those phrases that you think emanates from your brain a whole lot. You know what I mean? All right, 503-733-2970.
Are we just not going to do any CNN?
Lisa Goddard is probably calling in right about now. Scotty's on the phone talking to some other people. He will get off the phone with them. Lisa will call. You know, as much as I like to pull back the curtain on the fourth wall, really, we don't typically do it to this extent, but Scotty is on the phone right now, finishing some people right there. Lisa Goddard is calling.
Vicious.
We'll do a few minutes with Lisa. We'll then we'll talk to Mandy Moore.
You got to keep it short today.
And then I believe following Mandy Moore, we will reveal yet another exciting guest, after which we will do the news hour, after which we will have...
Storm Large.
Storm Large, after which we will have Fountains of Wayne... After which, I will go home and drink myself into a coma.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, from... I don't even know that this is Lisa Goddard, actually, now that we're playing the music. Hold on. Oh, is it? Fantastic. Can we start that again?
Yes.
Let's just... Ladies and gentlemen, from the Hill... CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. Why, hello, Lisa. How are you today?
Hello, guys. Man, you guys are slam-a-jamma today.
It's, you really have no idea. And and really, here's a phrase that I never thought would leave my mouth, but this is unfortunately going to be not as long as it typically is because we're scheduled to talk to Mandy Moore here.
How about it?
So it is, it's really one of those things that, I don't say Mandy Moore fell into our lap, but you know what I mean. It just sort of came out of the, blue.
Right.
So how's life? How are things on your end? Man, you got Karl Rove out of there,
yep.
And then now Dennis Hastert, but not like now. It's at the end of his term, right?
Right, exactly. Well, we're not sure. We're waiting to see. There is a possibility he'll leave now, so there'll be kind of a special election, which would get a Republican in earlier. But I think what's interesting is not only is Hastert, former Speaker of the House, leaving, but also the woman who chaired essentially the Republican election campaign or the Republican caucus in the House, her name's Deborah Price from Ohio, she's also out of here. She says she's retiring too. Now, her retirement may be even more significant because her district in Ohio is narrowly split. She barely hung on to that seat. And Democrats, I think, are just salivating right now that she's leaving. They think that's a seat they might be able to pick up. So.
Absolutely. Well, and it's, I mean, it's got to be with every one of these revelations, every time somebody leaves or is asked to leave. And Rove maybe is the exception to that because he is sort of this weird, unelected, honorary guardian angel position. But every time somebody like Hastert or anybody just sort of says, well, that's it, I'm out of here.
I mean,
that is a thing where you can start to hear every engine in Washington start revving up in neutral, right? Because they're just waiting for that flag.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think especially those contested seats, the Democrats really want to build up some more seats in the House and especially in the Senate. They've got some good shots in the Senate, and they're just counting the numbers. They've got their big bulletin boards up with the red and the blue, and they love seeing this kind of thing.
So if for you guys, as soon as a guy like Dennis Hastert says, well, I've had enough of this, and I mean, is it really just – I mean, when you peel away all the layers on this, if you're a guy like Dennis Hastert who is just so much in the spotlight and there's just so much pressure every day, does that just, you think, age you exponentially? Where you're just sort of like, screw this. I gotta get out of here, and I gotta go do something less stressful, like being an air traffic controller.
Being a high school wrestling coach.
Sure.
Right. But I think, you know, Hastert's an interesting example because he actually was the longest serving Speaker of the House, and he had a completely different approach than Nancy Pelosi and Newt Gingrich. Hastert was really pretty hands off. He didn't like the spotlight. Well, that's not true. I mean, he was hands on behind the scenes, but he didn't hold a lot of press conferences. He wasn't a face that was out front a lot of the time. He really was kind of a behind-the-scenes coach-type guy, pulling a lot of strings, of course, very important. But, you know, I think as far as stress goes, he was able to reduce a lot of his stress by keeping that lower public profile. I just think this is a case where the new guard in the Republican Party is saying, we got to get the old guard out. And I think it also works out personally for Hastert and certainly for Deborah Price, who's a single mom, for them to leave now. And I think John Boehner, who's the new Republican leader in the House, wants fresh blood. He wants it to look like, hey, we are a party of change. I know we didn't seem like it forever, but we are. It's all new faces, you know, that kind of thing. I think that's what they are pushing for right now.
All right. And then, you know, I have to say this. Oh, first of all, two things. One, we were talking yesterday about whether in Iran we are still known as the Great Satan or whether that was like a trademark phrase that went into the casket with Khomeini. I didn't realize this, but I had several listeners say that, I guess officially, in Iran, Khomeini is still the leader. And that,
the supreme leader?
Yeah, that he's just sort of temping right now, that they still view Khomeini as the guy. He is still apparently considered the official leader of Iran. He's just not on our spiritual plane anymore.
Wow.
I don't know if that's true or not. Sounds like it might be true.
I did not know that.
And I had multiple comma emails coming in. I mean, literally every 5 minutes I would get a new batch of 20 emails about the Oxford or serial comma. I went to a movie screening last night. People were picking fights with me in the aisle of the movie theater.
Outstanding.
So you have a lasting impact on the Rick Emerson audience.
The comma is nice, but you just don't need to overdo it.
All right. Lisa, before we go, do you have a question for Mandy Moore?
Oh, I don't know. If you ask her anything about the whole Entourage, how cool it was to be on Entourage.
Excellent. I am on that like green on grass.
Fabulous.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
Bye, guys.
Lisa Goddard on the Hill.
You know, you should ask her how it differed being an actress playing herself and then playing other characters.
That is a great, look at you. Look at you all, Lisa Schwartzbaum over there.
No, I'm too nervous. You're going to have to talk to her.
Okay. Hold on. Hi! Yeah, because that's going to work out well. I'm talking to some gorgeous, female celebrity.
She is, yeah. She's
really
stunning.
Legitimately beautiful, too. I've seen a couple sort of candid, you know, it's like the tabloid guys, they'll get like a shot of something. I've seen some shots of her where she really is legitimately beautiful. So, all right. Thank you, Scotty. I appreciate that. Excellent. Cool. So I just got handed a little pile of information that we will, we'll get to this later.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's get this. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello. Hi there. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm sorry, I didn't know I was on. Anyways, I just wanted to say that I love you like a fat kid loves cake, and you're awesome.
That's genius. What is your name?
My name is Saint Cupcake.
Oh, are you of these same cupcakes? Are you of the tiny little cupcakes that make you feel like you've eaten a pound and a half of sugar? And I mean that in a good way?
No, it's just a nickname I've acquired.
Why have you acquired the name Saint Cupcake? Is there an embarrassing anecdote behind it that you'd like to share with thousands of people?
Sure. Cupcake because I'm sweet.
Uh-huh.
And Saint because people confess the weirdest stuff to me on a regular basis.
Interesting. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have called in simply to share your love of and passion for the Rick Emerson radio program.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much. How'd you discover the show?
Actually, through an ex-boyfriend of mine. He's like, you got to listen to this. These guys are funny. And I'm like, okay. And I've been hooked ever since.
You know, can I tell you that I won't say who it is, but I have another female acquaintance of mine who actually, and I'm not saying this to be like all about me. It's just kind of a funny phrase. And it actually is more of a knock on the boyfriend. I have a female acquaintance who actually refers to this program as the only good thing that she ever got from her boyfriend. She's like, yeah, screw that guy. She's like, this is the only good thing I ever got from him is your program. So we would like to thank ex-boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, and wives for spreading the word to their now estranged significant others.
All right. Well, you continue to spread the word. You call us anytime. Thank you for listening.
Awesome. Yes.
All right. There you go. Fantastic. It's kind of a random day today, isn't it?
It really is. I love it.
Do I need to get the Crockett music again? I mean, maybe just one more time as
let's take a breather for a second.
Center myself. All right.
All right.
All right. There you go. Fantastic. I feel better. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right. Here's what I... Well, I don't want to read the list I've got on the air, because then it's just sort of tedious when people have to hear me list them back. Is there anything obvious we're missing asking Mandy Moore about?
I know she's focusing more... Well, she just released an album, which is what she's touring on.
It's that Wild Hope
Yeah, the Wild
record.
Hope.
Where is she? Is she at the Aladdin?
She's at the Aladdin, yeah.
The Aladdin.
She's playing with Paula Cole, remember her?
In fact...
Where have all the cowboys gone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paula Cole. Paula Cole was kind of... She was kind of hot in a weird sort of, you know, she didn't shave under her arms kind of way. You know what I mean?
I could see you liking Paula Cole.
And she did the, that was the Dawson's Creek girl, right? Didn't Paula Cole sing the Dawson's Creek theme?
Yes.
That, I don't want to wait.
Oh,
that was, yeah, that was totally, that was totally her. All right, the Aladdin, is that tonight?
It is, no, it's on Saturday night.
Aladdin, Saturday, Mandy Moore with Paula Cole, Mandy Moore.
I kind of want to see that.
Paula. God, I got so much stuff going. You know, for a guy that never leaves the house, this has just been the most insane week. I have more stuff going on this week. I had the 48-hour film festival screening last night, which was great, by the way. Met a bunch of listeners there. Our group went at just a little bit of recap, not to make it all about us. But our film, we went in. There's two different screenings. There was a screening at 7:15 and then a second batch of films at 9:45. And you know that it's not, I mean, it is a competition. It's a friendly competition, though. But there's 52 different filmmaking teams, and you literally draw your genre out of a hat. It really is like the Gryffindor sorting hat, where you stand there, you go, I wish to draw, you know, cop buddy movie or whatever. And our team, which is myself and a bunch of Bigger Than Jesus alumni, was myself, Joni, Patrick, Nate, Jarris, you know, kind of usual suspects. We drew superhero, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then literally 2 minutes later, Aaron Geek in the City Duran, and his team is Aaron, Scott Daly, Jason Crump from Vanished Twin, Fat Boy Roberts, Diana from Downtown. I mean, really like a full-on nerd squad. They pulled superhero too. And so there was a whole lot of like Highlander, like, there can be... So it begins. There can be only one. And it is a friendly competition. But I mean, it's like, you know, you both draw... I mean, what are the odds of that? I don't even know... I mean,
how many categories are there?
If there are 52 filmmaking teams, and you don't have to call me with this, but I mean, you really could. If somebody, I would like somebody to break this down and email me the answer to this, because I'm not smart enough to do this. If there are 52 filmmaking teams drawing out of a hat, and keep in mind that when you draw a genre, it doesn't go out of play; it just goes back in the hat. If there are 52 filmmaking teams, and there are 6 genres, really, what are the odds that both Aaron's group and our group would draw superhero? I mean, really just the odds that we would draw the same category.
Well, do they tell you all the categories that are possible?
There's a mystery bag. I mean, I'm getting kind of too detailed here, but the deal is they give literally a hat to draw out of. And I think the categories are like, it's like horror, comedy, superhero, musical, like Western and something else, like buddy film. And the thing is, if you draw a category, if you draw the genre you don't like, you can draw out of, like, you can redraw, but they make you redraw out of a hat of just, like, crap that's impossible to do. Like, you know, like space, you know, like space musical or something. So nobody really does that. Mm-hmm. So if there's 52 teams and there's 6 genres in the hat, I cannot even fathom what the odds are that, A, we would both get the same genre, us, our group and Aaron's group, and B, that we would both get the genre that we're just that we really want. That we would both get superhero. I mean, you couldn't find a better genre for Aaron's group to get them superhero. So it's just crazy. So we had that last night. We had Richard Cheese on Tuesday. so today, of course, we got the Fountains of Wayne guys and Mandy Moore.
and Peter Criss coming up, and Storm. Tomorrow we have, it seems like there's something crazy happening tomorrow, too, although I can't even think of what it is. It seems like tomorrow there's just some madness going on.
And well, then, Fridays are always nuts.
And then Saturday, it's Jen's birthday, plus Mandy Moore is playing, plus it's your friend Kiki's birthday. And you know that that always ranks. Anything involving her name ranks
yes.
high in my
gonna,
social planner.
Yeah, because I told you we're going to go get some appetizers this afternoon. Are you going to come?
Well, I'll
wish Kiki a happy birthday.
See if I can, is that gentleman caller of hers going to be there?
No, it's just the ladies.
Well, then, maybe it won't be just the ladies. hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. This
hey.
Is Bren.
Hey.
How you doing?
What's up, brother?
Well, in the spirit of randomness, there's a couple things that I've been thinking about but never knew where to slide them into your show there.
Yes.
Yeah, and the well, kind of in the theme of search for the worst story ever, if you were, not that you would, but if you were ever to have a segment called the worst job ever that somebody must be doing.
Yes.
I have an entry for that.
Okay.
All right, it's now if you go into Trader Joe's and you look at the pet treats aisle, and you'll find a beef treat that's kind of braided together.
Yeah.
Well, I was raised by hippies, so I just kind of look at labels and ingredients all the time.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even own a dog, and I looked at the label on this thing.
Yes.
The ingredients are steer pizzle.
Are what?
Steer pizzle.
What is that?
Well, you might want to Wikipedia it, because it's...
Okay, hold on. Did you just say something I had to bleep?
No, I did not.
Because I just bleeped it anyway. Because that
okay.
sounds... Here's why I said that, that phrase you just used. Because
yeah.
it sounds suspiciously close to something that the character of Randall McMurphy says in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest as a slang term for an intimate part of one's body.
Well, pizzle is a technical term for a steer penis.
Okay,
that's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's fine.
Well,
penis
not this,
is
but,
fine, yes.
But, yeah. What you're referencing.
That's what I'm talking about. So.
Yeah, it's like calling a female dog.
Okay, friend.
Sorry.
I understand. Thank
we
you.
Get it.
Bye now. Jesus. Seriously.
You keep those people on too long. When if you
well,
already have to dump
even,
somebody twice.
It's not even really something I have to dump.
I
like, that's
so.
Fine. No, I don't have to dump it. I mean, that's not something I have to dump. Because it's actually not what I thought it was. I thought he was referring to something else. If it's just like a slang term for penis, then that's fine. I don't have to dump that. It's just when I say, like, why don't you not continue talking about this? And then he just continues
plunging
on ahead.
Yeah, it's like when I was trying to watch
Rick,
the end of Lost.
Rick, it'd be like as if I used the slang term.
No,
know.
But have you gotten to that part yet where they discover this?
It's when you ask someone to quit talking about something. But let me just spoil the end of the movie for you. Well, no, I... Could you not spoil the end of the movie for me? No, but let me just tell you about the end where Darth is Luke's father. And you're like, I just asked you not to do it.
Raul just finished season 3 of Lost last night, so we got to talk about it this morning. It was so exciting.
Fantastic. Let's see. Rick, this email says, in addition to making yourself seem much cooler and important by dropping names during your interview, if you get hung up during one of today's many star-studded celebrity interviews, just say... I apologize. I have my interview notes for today for, insert three other celebrity names, mixed up with yours. Yeah, fantastic. That's a great idea. All right, so do we know, is Mandy coming
I'm writing
in
Mike right
this
now.
Segment? Because I'm wondering if we should break is kind of my question. Have we taken a break? We've taken one. So I'm wondering if we should take a break here or if we should be plunging on ahead. Because as it is, Mandy Moore and Peter Criss are really going to be right on top of each other. So, I'm wondering...
I searched him to see if he heard from the manager.
If we want to find an alternate time for her, if it looks like she's not going to be here before noon, so...
Okay.
I understand that Ms. Moore is very... well, hold on. Let me just lump one more time here. By the way, I apologize. We have no sound effects today. Is this Scotty's theme? Is my computer up?
Yes.
It's really not Scotty's theme at all.
Is that the only thing that you have?
Scotty, can you... he just walks in. Hi, Scotty. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Rick.
Does it feel like a Friday?
I love these kind of days.
I do, too. It's just we're in that weird calm before the storm period because we just had Lisa Goddard. And we're in this weird sort of right in the eye of the hurricane before everything begins. So Peter Criss at the top of the hour.
Yes. And if you want my opinion, if we blow out the brakes now, then you can just keep going. I mean, I don't know, because you can go back to back.
Well,
with
we are
Mandy.
Too heavy on brakes today. I mean, the only thing we need to do to break at the top for is the legal ID.
So I
can give right now.
That's awesome.
I guess my question is do you feel like we should just roll through right here to the top of the hour, or should we take a break here so it's out of
the
way?
We can take a mini break, and as soon as she calls, then we can just come back.
Okay, so keep in mind, we got about 8 minutes until Peter Criss comes on. So
I'm already pestering Mike.
All right,
I'm trying to get it all done, too. We're all working together. Let's not work against each other.
I was just going
to
say, the only way we're going to survive this is if we work as a team.
Walt!
Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Emerson radio program. Hey, guess who just talked to Mandy Moore?
I did.
What did she sound like? Was she cool?
She was so nice. I'm like, you know, we're kind of coming up to the line here. We have another interview coming in about 2 minutes. Would you mind rescheduling? She's like, oh, yeah, no problem. I'll just call you back. And yeah. I'm like, 15, 20 minutes. She's like, yeah, that's totally cool.
I could just hear, it was that thing when, we're not name dropping, but this really did just happen. It was that thing when Sarah was just talking to Mandy Moore right now. Because we're having, it is one of those feast or famine things, you know. Because we don't do, you know, a ton of interviews on the show because I'm not, you know, I don't want to be booking people just to book people. But, you know, how can you say no to Peter Criss? How can you say no to Mandy Moore? You know, I'm a big Fountains of Wayne fan, obviously, you know. So it all kind of comes down at one moment, of course. It's like when you're waiting for a bus and no buses come by for like an hour. You're like, you're waiting for that number 9 bus. And none of them drive by, and then you get like 3 9s that all come at once. It's kind of what this is today. Anyway, so I was just walking by Scotty's room because we're, you know, we're doing some other things here in a few minutes. I walk by the room, the line rings, and so it was either you or Scotty just came out, and you're like, hey, Mandy Moore's on the phone, so do we want to do it now or do we want to do it later on the show? And I'm like, well, let's see if she can do it here in a little while. And man, Sarah picks up the phone. She's like, hi, Mandy. And then I just hear... It was that thing where you can't quite hear the words on the other end. You can just sort of hear that, you know that sort of this sort of peanuts thing coming out of the phone. Even over the phone, you could just hear the pleasing dulcet tones of Mandy Moore's voice.
Oh my gosh, that was so exciting. My hands were totally shaking.
All your Walk in the Clouds dreams were coming through.
Well, Saved is one of my favorite movies. She's hilarious. She's a really good actress.
Yeah, yeah, excellent. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Also coming up. Just stop.
I wonder if she's in town.
People just sending us many more questions. I can't imagine she is. She's not playing till Saturday. I mean, unless she's got some other reason to be here. If it's not till the day after tomorrow, maybe she, I don't know. Unless she's like in a vacation. What was Mike Ness from Social Distortion doing? Was he antiquing or something?
He was antiquing.
Yeah.
Because he'd heard about all the antique shops in Brooklyn.
Yes. No. All right. 503-733-2970.
Good luck.
It is the Rick Emerson radio program. Scotty's answering the phone right here as we speak. Wait and see who this is. Don't forget, coming up later on in the program, we'll talk to Mandy Moore. I totally sound like Kimmel right now. Coming up, my next guest will be Joan Embry of the San Diego Zoo. We'll be talking to Mandy Moore. We'll be talking to Storm Large. I do believe Adam Schlesinger is going to be on the show later on, right here on KCMD Portland. Let us not forget, by the way, that Adam Schlesinger of Fountains of Wayne is also the guy who wrote the title song for That Thing You Do. So I can pester him relentlessly about that. Now, see, I'm just honing my Peter Criss questions here. Let's see.
Do you want me to make sure that is him?
Song tribute to Ace. Wait, hold on. I'm looking here on the screen. I'm just making a little note to myself. Da, da, da. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you all know my next guest. To say the phrase living legend, to use a phrase like towering rock and roll god, applies to a small handful of people in this world. But certainly this next man is one of those people. Let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show the one, the only, the legendary Peter Criss. Hi, Peter.
Hi, that's a hell of a bring on. I don't know if I could top that. That's pretty good.
No pressure. Don't worry about it. Now, I have to say, and if you will allow me just a small moment of what they call fanboy geeking, I got to tell you, to talk to you, Peter Criss, really is the fulfillment of a lot of dreams. And as you know, you made a very strong imprint on a whole lot of people. I mean, generation after generation after generation. I mean, fathers handing down to sons and sons handing down to grandchildren. And when you, I mean, do you hear that every day? You must, when people say to you, look, it's, you know,
you're the reason, you're the guy that got me going, you're the guy who was my inspiration. When you make music now, do you make it just for yourself, or are you doing your own thing right now? Do you feel the weight of being like kind of a living legend?
Well, I hate that word. It scares me. I try not to think about all that stuff. You know, it's like when I was younger guy and all that was like, you know, a lot of it gets to be really, it does get to be heavy, and it could be very ego. Your ego could really get inflated, and your brains could blow up. So today, this Peter Chris, I'm not delusional. I really try to keep my feet on the ground, and I never do music only but for the people that hear it. It's not for myself. I'm not that selfish. There is a selfishness in it that when I write and compose, yes, it's pretty much, you know, about my situations that I come and go through in life and things, loss or gain or something or other. They're usually little mini stories, I call them, about my life, but always with the people who put me in this situation today never leave my mind. I mean, I am so grateful to God, since I am a Catholic kid and I was raised pretty cool, and I don't, my fans, when they come up to me and say, especially kids, young kids come up and say, man, I'm playing the drums because of you, it flips me out. It still flips me out.
Your new record is called One for All. That is the new Peter Chris record, and I know, now is it Paul Schaefer, is it this record that Paul Schaefer has actually worked, and you produced it too, right? You were actually in the chair, you were the man at the head of the helm.
Yeah, I felt, only because this has been in the works for 2 years because of the touring and off, and it was the last tour, and I wanted to get to it. And Michael McLaughlin, first of all, wrote most of the stuff with me. Me and this guitarist go back to 91, and he's now in China. He lives, believe it or not, and he comes back and forth and stays in my guest house. So he had a lot to do with that. And when we started doing this and we saw the form it was going to take, and especially the songs I chose and where I wanted to really go on uncharted land, I worked with the great Ezrin and the great Ponzi and the Kramers, and I figured if I could do this, if they, you know, I learned a lot from those guys, and I had so much help with the engineers, and again, let's bring up Paul Schaefer, and I go way back to the Saturday Night Live days. I had a very close friend of mine, John Belushi. We were good buddies, and it was a great crowd then, and so we knew each other. And then when this came up, easily came to my mind, if I'm going to do something by Santar, Stephen Santar, or redo a song for my mom, like What a Difference a Day Makes, or I need a guy who can play a Hammond organ and a piano. And I immediately thought of Paul, and so Mike and I went up to Paul's office at the Ed Sullivan Theater and said, what do you think of this? And he said, this is some serious stuff, man. You really got big ones to try this. You know, not everybody's going to get it, but, man, I get it, and I would be proud. And I said, well, while we're at it, can I get Will Lee, who has got to be one of the best bass players on the planet? And Will and I are like infectious friends. We can't get on the phone enough with each other. And with that, I needed an arranger, and he got me Clifford Carter, who's done a lot for Neil Diamond and Sting and stuff. And I've always wanted to do a duet with a gal, preferably Aretha Franklin, but she wasn't available. So I got this terrific gal named Jen Johnson. And the joy of it all was sitting there and working with kids. I got to work with a great urban choir of kids that were just sensational on the song One for All, which is all about 9/11. And so it was a real comfortable atmosphere. The nuts and bolts was done here in my home. I have a studio built downstairs. And then we took all the rest of it to New York for the mixing, which George Marino mastered it. He did Lennon and Hendrix and Kiss and early stuff of mine. He's just really brilliant guy. So it was all kind of very loosely done. I didn't tell anybody, you know, you got to play this and you got to play that. I know how that feels, and it's not a great feeling. I'm not going to tell Paul Schaefer how to play or Will. And they kind of just do, and, you know, maybe now and then I'd suggest something. But everybody just had a great loose time about it, but yet knew the seriousness of it.
We're talking to the one and only Peter Chris, and your new CD is called One for All. And actually, you hit on something that I wanted to mention, which is you have a real strong... and even though I'm from the West Coast, you have a real strong New York sensibility. I mean, you always have. You know, even back to stuff like a song like Hooligan off Love Gun, which is one of the great songs. Just has a real swing to it, and it's I hate to use a word like street because that sounds so cliche, but it is a real city feel to it. And
yeah.
Is that a thing that you were consciously trying to bring? Did you feel like you just, or is it you wanted to feel like the New York sound was really being represented, or is that just who you are?
I think it's who I am. You know, I'm a kid from the streets. I was born in Brooklyn, poor neighborhood. Mom and dad, and I had brother, three sisters, lived in four rooms, Coldwater Flat, tough neighborhood. But yet, you know, the music was there. My mother, rest her soul, who I would be doing all this if she wasn't so important in my life to keep pushing me to get me with the music, knowing that's the only key out of Brooklyn. And, you know, I don't think it ever, you could take, as they say, the kid out of Brooklyn, but you can't take Brooklyn out of the kid. So, you know, I was a pretty tough guy when I was young, and I think a lot of that street stuff, when I started hanging out in Greenwich Village, when it was a cool time to be there, when, like, say, you know, the late 60s, and you had Hendrix and the Doors, and then the first time the British invasion, and it was, hopefully all that has rubbed off on me, and now and then it does come out of me. I think it's important being a guy from New York.
Talking to Peter Chris, do you feel like some of that, the sort of, the, you know, because New York has, there's so much, there's such a romance to that city where there's the Gershwin and the Cole Porter.
Yeah, and there we get Broadway.
And absolutely, the Great White Way. And New York also has sort of that seamy underbelly. There's a lot of grit and a lot of grime, especially in an earlier era. Do you feel like the mix of those two things, maybe that there's some of that, New York has a lot of that sort of instability where things in that city always feel a little tumultuous. Do you feel like that was a mixed blessing to you, the fact that there was a little tumult always kind of going on in the city that maybe rubbed off on you where things were?
Yes, very good. Very cool. Yeah, New York is very potpourri, man. We've got, I mean, I'm Irish-Italian. There's German, Irish, Italian, Indian, black, green, blue, orange. It's like major, you know, musical stuff always even going around in the air. If you walk through New York, you'll hear all kinds of stuff going on. And I lived in L.A., by the way, for 13 years. So, you know, great place, different kind of mentality, different type of stuff. Where I think a kid for me, where I grew up, again, in near the Great White Way, that grease paint must have rubbed off on me because I always saw it in a different artistic light. When I started the band with the guys, we wanted it more than just, you know, guys up there in jeans and a T-shirt. I saw it much, much more. I wanted to be in the band that I wanted to be in. That's kind of how it worked out.
We're talking to the one and only Peter Chris. This, I know that the new record, One for All, you said it's very autobiographical, a lot of things, the moments in your life that you address, whether the high moments, low moments. What are some of the key moments in your life that you wanted to talk about on this record? What are some of the moments you felt like, hey, this has got to be in a song, this has got to be something I think about?
Well, I wrote one of the songs is called Faces in the Crowd, and it was a great movie. My late dear friend Stan Penridge, who wrote Beth with me, loved the movie. And the title stuck in my head for some reason. Some songwriting, there is no rules. You could write a chorus. You could write the bridge first. You could write the lyrics first. You could write the title. You could write the ending before the beginning. That's the greatness of writing. And I had the title stuck in my head. And one night, the last maybe the 10 years of my life, I've never realized how so important, as you say, kids, and the people in my audience go from 1 to 100, and you're absolutely right. Their kids and their kids are there, and their kids are there. It's just amazing. And I, many nights spent looking out from the curtain out to these people of their faces and the joy and the ups and downs, especially when I come out to sing Beth. Oh, my God, I would see girls just break down crying, and just overwhelming. And this song, I had it when I wrote it, I found that after a show, a musician, you go back to your room, you're all by yourself. It's a very low period for me, and it's quiet, and there's no more hoopla and scream, and everybody leaves you alone. And the song came to me then, and I felt that's exactly right. You're in the room, but I kind of wanted to transport myself in time back to the stadium, which I do. There was a lot of magic in the studio how we did that, but it goes back to the screaming and the auditorium and the loudness, and then it quiets down again. And the song is truly saying that the spotlight is far from on me. It's really on the fans, and they are really the stars. And that really came from the heart, and the words were really chosen very, very carefully, same as Memories is a whole tune, kind of through all the years I've been through with the fans of the roller coaster great ride we've been on. So a lot of sentiment stuff in here, man.
We're talking to Peter Criss. The new CD is called One for All. And after, obviously, Kiss and then solo career, and then you did acting. You were on Oz, right? The HBO show, and you were on Oz.
Was that too cool? You know, I just got a book they put out, and I wanted to see, I had my name, and I was so in awe that I did that. That was one of the best times of my life. I went to acting school for a while, 2 years, actually, and I even got my equity card, which had a lot to do with some of the way I'm even singing on this album, like Sending the Clowns from Santa, and a few tunes, because I took, I never thought I would take voice lessons, but if you're going to go on Broadway and sing seven nights a week, you better have that throat.
When you
know what you're doing with it. So I had a little more knowledge now about how to use my voice a little more. I guess you're never too old to learn.
When you were acting, is that a thing? Did you feel like you had something to prove, or was it just one more thing that you wanted to do? Is it something?
Oh, man, I am a cinema guy. I wanted to do that. I wanted to act forever. And I don't mean Kiss Me, It's the Phantom. I wanted to do some serious stuff, and I still do. I still get scripts sent to me. I find it was so cool to not be Peter Criss and to beat a bunch of guys up with a baseball bat and then spend the day in prison and then go home at night to bed. It was really, to me, the most sensational feeling, because you really jump out of your skin and you could be some other guy for a while. It was very, very cool.
We're talking to Peter Criss on One for All. The final cut, the closing cut, is actually, is it with Ace? Is it about Ace? A little bit of both?
A little bit of both. It's I got a few chords there, and I started embellishing it, and I started getting really spacey with it, and came to mind was Ace, because we were really on tour for a long time, and the plane we were on after a while did feel like a spaceship, and I do believe he's an alien. I don't believe he's really from this.
From Jen Dell.
Yeah, that's exactly right, my friend. And it kind of, I started writing lyrics as jokingly, but they started making sense to me, and I guess from A to Z, it all fell together. And next thing, I'm singing a tune about one of my bandmates who's perfectly good to sing about, because he is all those things and more. So,
you know, for a guy who is from Brooklyn, as you said, grew up in the Coldwater Flat and just went from nothing to everything. If I can ask this, what was the moment? What was the one moment, whether you were by yourself, in front of the fans, whatever, the moment when you first knew, you went, okay, this is, you know, this is it. I am on that roller coaster.
I've got that story down, Cole. And it'll be eventually in my book when I do finish it. I passed Madison Square Garden when I was a boy with my mom, and I said, hey, Ma, you know, I'm going to play that place someday, you know, like, right. And it came, now I've played it many times, and the first time I played it, I walked out on the stage to do Beth, and I looked over to the left of me, and my mom and dad were sitting in a box, and they were crying like kids, which almost made me break down. And I knew right then and there I made it. I knew that that's what I wanted to do in this world, was to let my parents see me on top of the world, especially at Madison Square Garden. The
sure.
greatest champions in the world had been there. And to see them see me there was, I said to myself, okay, everything else is cream.
I can't top that. There's no way to follow that up. Peter Criss, the new CD is called One for All. Is there a website, URL, MySpace, anything?
Yes, please, petercriss.net. Please, you know, go on there. I'll let you know what I'm doing. I'm not selling you coffins or anything. I'm just selling you good news. I'm not selling you nothing bad. I'm selling you, you know, what this Christian kid's doing and what I'm up to.
Excellent.
I did finish, by the way, over the winter, 13 brand new rock and roll songs.
Excellent.
That I'll put out next year, a rock album. And I actually finally finished my swing album dedicated to Gene Krupa, and I have to mix that. So
that is so great.
I've been busy.
My friend, I got to tell you, from someone who loves music to someone who makes music and continues to, it's been an honor and a pleasure. The album is called One for All. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Peter Criss. Thank you, Peter.
Oh, you're a gentleman. God bless you. This is very nice. You were very cool. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you so much. Peter Criss. Scotty, if you want to wrap that up with him, that would be so great. Thank you so much. Peter Criss, ladies and gentlemen.
That was awesome.
Absolutely.
Childhood dream come true.
Checking it off the list. Ah, that's so cool. I was so nervous going into that. The first couple questions.
I have never seen you nervous. You were nervous.
I
could tell you were kind of pacing and you looked a little, like, I could see that you were thinking about what you were going to say next before you said it.
About a third of the way in, I sort of, I sort of relaxed. Yeah. That is so cool. All right. Fantastic. What a cool guy, man.
That's so nice.
How great is that?
I loved his little
story about his parents. That story about his parents, Mm-hmm. Is great, that Madison Square Garden thing.
Oh, yeah.
What a cool guy. He was badass, man.
No, I'm on his website right now.
Oh, and it's just, you know, and I'm totally a sucker for New York stories. I am totally just a star, you know, he's like the Brooklyn guy. He's got the great, cool Brooklyn accent. He's got that kind of cool Goodfellas thing going on.
Well, he doesn't seem affected by it.
No, and he's just, well, that's, I mean, and talk about a guy. I mean, you know, you can say whatever you want about, you know, the 2007 and all the things that Kiss went through, everything that, you know, that happened with that band up and down, you know. For that guy to be that cool and that down to earth, I mean, do you realize, I don't have the figure in front of me, but I'm pretty sure it's 90. Yeah, here we go. Listen to this. Kiss has sold 80 million records in their career. They have earned 55 gold, platinum, and multi-platinum records. They are the largest selling group in the history of the world, I think, behind the Beatles. I think it is the Beatles, then Kiss. And I think in terms of performers, I think they are third after the Beatles and Garth Brooks. They've sold 80 million records.
Damn.
And that guy, for him just to be so, you know, for him just to be so cool and just so straight up like that and everything. And so, you know, anyway.
Have you ever talked to anybody from Kiss before?
No, that's it. I mean, the closest I've ever come is, let's see. No, I never talked to Tommy Thayer even. The closest I've ever come is having those Kiss liners cut that we've been playing all
week.
Well,
people don't even know. They think that you're some kind of, like, superficial fan. They don't see you parading around in your Kiss T-shirts every day.
Oh, dude.
Or, like, they don't see right here
that I've got Kiss dolls in the studio.
Oh, they're attached to the thing.
Yeah. You can't actually rattle against the microphone.
Our studio is lined with Kiss dolls.
Over against the window, we actually have all of the Kiss action figures over there. And I, you know, so who knows? Who knows how he feels about that? So you heard that crack he made at the end about Gene selling the casket.
Oh, that was what I was going to comment. That was hilarious.
Excellent.
Are they friends still? Or?
I think there's some estrangement there. I think that's the diplomatic way probably to put that. But you know what? It, at this point, and then I'll quit just kind of geeking out about it. Otherwise, I'm just going to sit and geek all day and we'll get nothing done. We're already into the news hour. I just got to say this. Kiss to me is like Prince, Madonna, the Rolling Stones, anybody. In fact, we made this observation about Madonna a while back. That, you know, she's nothing to prove. I mean, Peter, Chris, those guys, they have nothing to prove to anybody. You know, they were the biggest band on earth for a long time. They went away. They came back in that reunion tour in 96 and were the biggest band on earth again. And I got to tell you, for a guy, and that was the first time I'd ever seen them, for a guy who grew up listening to them, only heard the legends, the myths. I only heard the stories. It was like some sort of a, you know, it was a tale of Sisyphus passed down throughout the years. And then to actually see them live, I will say to this day, I mean 10 years, 11 years later, the opening moments at that Kiss reunion show that I saw in 96, that is transcendent. It is the greatest moment of my music life, probably. I mean, as far as seeing something live, certainly. I mean, because it's just impossible to overstate the level of, I mean, it just starts to sound so gay, but we were just, I mean, everybody in that stadium was just floating. I mean, there was just not, you didn't even feel like you were on Earth at that moment because it was a thing you had only ever heard about. And see, you're not that much younger than I am, but I think there's enough of an age gap there that you probably don't remember a world without Kiss being around. You know, I mean, walking around now on TV in whatever. There was a long time when Kiss was sort of around without makeup, but you didn't really feel like it was Kiss, and you only heard the stories about what their old makeup era concerts were like. And then to actually see it, I mean, it was like in my head, it was like the only thing I can compare seeing that Kiss reunion concert to in 96, the only thing I can compare that to is when the new Star Wars film came out in 99.
Uh-huh.
Before you saw it, when you saw the trailer for The Phantom Menace, that's the only thing I can compare.
I still have yet to, I need to borrow that from you.
What?
Well, I was thinking The Phantom in the Park, whatever.
No, Kiss Meets The Phantom in the Park. Yeah, see that maybe after you've had a few.
Okay.
I think there's a European cut of that on the Kiss DVD we're giving away. Let's get this one call quickly. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
What's
just
up?
Just wanted to let you know from an audience perspective here, a little Insta poll. Man,
yes,
everything from chills to a lump in the throat. Great
Thank
interview.
He was a cool guy. He really was.
Absolutely. And I think you managed to really capture an entire span of, you know, everything from the personal to some of the fun, geeky stuff.
Excellent.
So just a job well done, my friend.
Thank
you. Way to go, team.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. All right, there you go. That's Frank. Thank you. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, the hits just keep on coming.
I'm very excited.
Without further ado, let us welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, the one and the only Mandy Moore, singer, actress extraordinaire. Hi, Mandy, how you doing?
Hi, I'm well. How are you?
It's been a bit of a day. I'm now on my sixth cup of coffee, so if at some point I sound like I'm jittering in my seat, it really is just that. You'll have to take my word for it.
Good to know.
How are you? How are things? You're on the road right now. You're coming to Portland on Seattle. On Saturday, rather,
yes.
You're going to be at the Aladdin here with Paula Cole. So,
yes, sir.
It is, Sarah and I have been talking about this. Sarah, my producer, and I have been talking about this all morning because you have done.
Because I recognize you from, you know, different things than he does. He's been going on and on about Entourage all day.
Absolutely.
Of course.
So before I actually get, and every guy you talk to must immediately leap to, how'd you get on Entourage? That is so cool.
I know.
So how did that come about?
How did you?
Let me be the thousandth guy to ask you that question. How did that come about?
They just approached me. They approached me with the idea, which is not necessarily the most common thing. Usually those things you have to fight for. But, they came to me with the idea, and they said it would be like some sort of, multi-episode arc. And I loved the show, and I was like, sure, I'll play myself in this random situation. Why not?
Is playing yourself harder than playing a fictitious character, or is it?
No, it's not. It's not harder by any means. I just think the choices that the fictional Mandy played, or made rather, on Entourage are not necessarily, they don't echo the choices that I would have made in my personal life. So that was a little bit odd, because people can't really discern between reality and television, and so they would walk up to me, they're like, dude, you're dating Vinny? I'm like, he doesn't exist.
I was actually going to ask you that, if you had people criticizing the choices that the fictional Mandy Moore had made.
They're like, dude, how could you do that to Vince? I'm like, what do you mean? I didn't do anything to him.
That's fantastic.
People were very offended, and they're very hurt by me hurting Vincent, I guess.
It's got to be a cool feeling that it wasn't an audition process. It wasn't somebody pitching you to them. It was that they came in and said, Mandy Moore's got to do this. I mean, that's got to feel really good. That's got to let you know that you are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's a good feeling.
As a guy, by the way, I am legally required to ask if you met James Cameron.
I did, yes, on my very first day. I met him. I was like, really? This is what? Because they obviously shoot out of sequential order sometimes. So
sure.
My very first day of work, I had to be like strapped into this contraption on a wire and meeting James Cameron. So I was like, wow, all on the first day of work, not too shabby.
One of the other things that we've been talking about is that you, our news director here, a guy named Tim Riley, is actually from Nashua, New Hampshire.
I see.
And so we've been talking about Nashua and about how, and I will actually just plead straight out ignorance on this. How did it start for you? Did you start, was it music? Was it acting? How did you get in and when?
Well, I actually was only born in Nashua, and my parents moved when I was like 2 months old back to Orlando. So I really grew up in Florida. But it started with music. I did a lot of like theater as a kid, and then I signed a record deal at 14, and that's kind of, I guess, how I got my start in the industry.
When you look back and you see sort of the difference, because obviously the music, the sort of contemporary music you're doing now and the stuff you did early on, do you feel like you got more input now? Do you feel like you're able to put your kind of your imprint on the stuff you're doing now as opposed to the early stuff?
Sure. Yeah, I had no say whatsoever earlier in my career, I guess, with the music that I was doing. And at this point, I mean, it took a little bit of groundwork and leaving two record labels to make this particular record. But to be able to say at the end of the day that I had the creative control and it's completely me, 100% standing behind this, it's a good feeling.
We're talking to Mandy Moore. She's going to be here Saturday at the Aladdin. And so you are actually, and you write your own material. I know a lot of people. Do you feel like you still get lumped into that, somebody just hands her those songs and she goes into the studio and it's already done? Do you feel like you unfairly get lumped into that now, or do people know the extent to which you're writing that stuff?
I don't think so necessarily, because I've been absent from the music scene for so long. Like, this is my first record, especially of original material, in like 5 or 6 years. So I think maybe it's believable enough to people, especially having done some of the acting work, and maybe there's a more fully formed idea of who I am as a person. So I haven't really been, thankfully, lumped into the category of like, oh, yeah, she's just someone that sort of puts her name on it. And I think I think I'd be, as anyone would be, I would imagine, really, really sort of hurt by that, because this record is so extremely personal to me. I couldn't see how someone would confuse it with somebody else writing it, I guess.
I guess that does, I do actually want to ask this question, and I'll try to phrase this sort of very diplomatically. Why do you feel like you have flourished and survived while maybe some of the other artists who came out around that same time have maybe not stayed in the spotlight the way that you have?
Well, I just, I don't think people were initially right off the bat as interested in my personal life as maybe they were with some other people. I kind of feel like that's certainly a key to all of this, but I have a really good foundation, like a family. I think I was, you know, I have great parents and a great family and a great support system, and all of that, I think, is kind of the key to everything. So I don't know. I hopefully, not to pat myself on the back, but I think I've made some pretty good choices and decisions over the last couple of years. And I've always sort of known that it was more important to be proud of my work than to sort of get acclaim from doing any of that other stuff that doesn't have anything to do with your work.
Oh, just, and yet, I swear this is the final nerdy guy question.
Is it another Entourage question?
No, it's a Simpsons question.
Okay.
Did you do voice work on The Simpsons? And if so, was it just voice work, or did you get to see yourself Simpsonized?
I was Simpsonized, yeah. Well, I wasn't playing myself, but again, they sort of approached me to do a voice. I played this like sort of hussy pop star last season on The Simpsons.
Excellent.
I got to sing a little bit. It was so much fun. I mean, it was a crazy sort of production, and obviously, I was the only one there doing my voice work. I didn't get to work with any of the other actors that do the characters on the show, but it's such an honor to be a part of pop culture like that. So, and I think forever I'm in this crazy, exciting club, and I get random, like, Simpsons memorabilia now a couple times a year, like a Monopoly game like a leather jacket or something.
Very
so I'm, I feel very honored.
As we get ready to sort of wrap this up, I know you're busy, you're short on time. I want to ask you, just as someone who has gone in to the entertainment industry, and you've done music in a lot of different ways, doing it someone else's way, doing it your own way, you've done acting. Do you have thoughts, advice, horror stories, anything for someone who is just out there right now thinking about getting into the music business? What do they need to know? What's the piece of advice you give them?
Oh, God, I don't know. I think I'm still sort of learning. I would say, like I said earlier, probably just make sure that you're surrounded by good people, be it family or friends, like people that will support you and they'll love you no matter what, and really just love you for the right reasons. And I don't know, I feel like that's essential if you want to get involved in this industry, because there's so many people pulling you every which direction, and if you don't have that strong sense of self or good people around you, then it's easy to go a bit wayward, I guess.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. Is there, mandymoore.com or the website URL?
Mandymoore.com.
Mandymoore to this coming Saturday at the Aladdin. Mandy Moore with Paula Cole. Mandy, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good rest of your day.
All right. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Mandy Moore. All right. Scotty's talking to her. All right.
All right. Is that the nicest person you've ever spoken with?
You can just, the halo glow is, I mean, she's just so
nice. And
I mean, really. She's so nice that she made me feel like a terrible person just sitting here, just because she seems so relentlessly nice. And I don't mean that in a cheesy way.
No,
she seems decent. When is the last time we talked to somebody who seemed really honestly decent? I can't even remember.
I don't even think I know anybody like that.
I think she may be
might be the only one.
I think she's like the only clean, decent person we've ever had on this program. God, it's only 12:30. But
gosh.
It's already 12:30. It's 12:30.
We haven't taken a break.
We interview more people by 12:30 than... We've interviewed Lisa Goddard, Peter Criss, and Mandy Moore.
Best day ever.
Still to come, Storm Large and quite possibly the Fountains of Wayne guy. Let me just...
You've done so well at both of your interviews. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. Let me just... All right. It's 503-733-2970. Hey, do you want to start the news hour later?
We should do that.
Let's do this. Take a break. Come back. It's 503-733. Oh, and then the Ramones. That's the best thing I've ever heard. 503-733-2970. We're back after this with Tim Riley.
If never I met you, I'd never have seen you cry. If not for a first hello, we never have to say goodbye. If never I held you, my feelings would never show. It's time I start walking, but there's so much you'll never know.
It's the Rick Emerson radio program. I didn't have Black Diamond. I went upstairs to find Black Diamond. That's okay. I'll take hard luck with it. It's 503-733-2970. This email says, Rick, after today, there will be no more complaining about working in radio.
True, true.
And then he says, the bad news is that after today, well, it's as good as it gets, and it's all downhill. Love, Adam. Thanks, Adam. Here's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, now you get to relax for a while because you don't have any guests till 2 o'clock.
That's true.
If not before that.
I think, hey, Scotty, well, let me double check that, actually. Mm. Hey, so, Scotty, we have Storm coming in at 2. Do we know, is the schedule going to work out with the Adam Schlesinger guy? Okay, well, let me know. I mean, it's, at this point, it would be piggish of me to ask for more. It would be gloop-like for me to demand, you bring me more interviews and your finest meats and cheeses. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley. Hello there, Tim.
Hello there.
Hi.
Well, let's see. I don't think this is exciting as what just happened, but the president's daughter, Jenna Bush, is engaged. She's marrying Henry Hager, a former White House aide who used to work for Karl Rove. His father, John Hager, is the chairman of the Virginia Republican Party. Let's see here. The couple have been dating for about 2 years. The last White House wedding was June 12, 1971, when Tricia Nixon was married. So that was that. Mayor Potter has fired a cop today who shot and killed a driver last year. Lieutenant Jeffrey Kayer, a 16-year veteran, has the right to appeal that decision.
What is this? I'm trying to keep them all straight. Which driver is this shot by the Portland police? Was this the black woman?
Let's see here.
Because there was a whole kerfuffle, a brouhaha.
Well, this, he shot Dennis Young,
no.
January 4th, 2006.
Thinking something else, then.
All right.
Well, one of the many people killed by the Portland police.
Portland is about to begin enforcing a new law against people lounging or loitering on downtown sidewalks, like there's anybody downtown left anyway. It's aimed at making shoppers feel more comfortable and luring more national retailers downtown. The city passed a law in May by delaying enforcement until more services are available. Oh, you know, the city has these rented cops downtown who are riding around on Segways now.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I've seen
a couple of them. Yeah.
How can you possibly take a cop's... Seriously, why don't you...
So they're trying to get people to not sit down while they're riding around on in a Segway.
Which I believe costs like in the order of $10,000 or something. So, I mean, is it so... What is the top speed on a Segway? What, like 10 miles an hour? 12?
10 or 15, probably.
Why can't you... Well,
the bad part is, downtown is under construction, so somebody's going to fall into a ditch on one of those things.
I don't mean to sound anti-cop or anything, but seriously, why can't your fat ass walk? Seriously, you know... What if everybody downtown just started riding Segways? It's just going to be chaos. Let me ask you this. Do you know, Tim Riley, are the other people, are the regular common folk allowed to ride Segways?
I don't believe so. I don't know if there's any sense at all against it.
I don't understand.
If you purchased one.
If everybody started riding Segways, the sidewalks would know, like, there's no way everybody could fit. So that
maybe
seems
we
like...
need some PC parking spots for Segways.
That'll be next.
Claim that.
Yeah, one more thing. Oh, man, can I just tell you, speaking of parking spaces, Laura and I went to the 48-hour film festival last night, which is great. And again, shout out.
How did your motion picture come out?
It was good. We were really happy with it. What was it about? I don't want to talk about it too much, but I will say it wasn't our movie, but it was something in the projection system at the theater. The first, because it's a short film festival, films that are 5 to 7 minutes in length. The first five movies that they showed last night, they had like their playback system. The audio was sort of misaligned somehow. And so the first five movies they showed last night, ours was, I think, the fourth one. the first five movies had a lot of bit with sound out. Just sitting, you're watching this thing that you stayed awake without sleeping for 2 days to finish, just pouring your heart and soul into it and playing it back. And there's all this weird, like audio crackling. It's sitting there wanting to kill someone. I know there's a series of strongly worded letters that have been sent off already this morning to the venue, asking them, like, WTF about that.
So I won't ask where it was presented then.
I'm sorry?
I won't ask where this show was presented.
Well, it was at the Hollywood Theater. I mean, the rest of the night went well. They fixed the audio. I mean, things came together. It was kind of frustrating, the first three or four films. It was, you know, and we had this guy, Noah, who did the sound for our movie, just labored over it. I mean, just did everything but sweat blood for it. And they're playing it back like of a Betamax or something that's gas-powered. And so, the crew, you know, the killer is... and now you know the secret. You know, and we're just sitting there in the audience, you know, conned like, no! But ours... but it did... No, it turned out...
But it did have audio this year.
It did.
So you're part...
Such a jerk.
you were heard speaking dialogue.
Yes.
Year.
Yeah, well, I wasn't, but... Uh-oh. But yeah, the dialogue that I wrote was heard, yes.
Oh, you wrote dialogue, but you didn't do any dialogue yourself.
No, because that would have cursed it for sure. No, Nate Baker and I wrote it, and then there was Sarah's friend Kelsey was in it, and our friend Sarah Moon, who was in the one we did last year, that Kimmy Waters film, was in it as well. So they're minor complaints. It turned out 98% perfect. It's a great movie. We're really proud of it. And then the next group, Aaron Geek in the City Duran, had a superhero flick.
Kind of
a dark, noir-esque sort of Frank Miller thing. It was really cool.
I think Scott Daly was involved in that.
Scott Daly, Jason Crump, Diana from Downtown was in it. Clyde's friend Sadie was in it. It was just, you know, it was a real huge, I mean, just like Team Geek. I mean, the whole Goon Patrol was on that one. And it just, that was great, too. So good job all around.
All right.
Oh, anyway, but my point was, so we were trying to find parking. Because, you know.
Here's the weird part about this story. That, you know, all these streets are closed downtown.
Right.
And the rest of them are dug up. Well, the city is saying they created 125 daytime spaces. Where?
That's a lie. Mm-hmm. That's a complete fab. That is misinformation is what that is. That is disinformation. I guess my thing is, well, first of all, I should just say the last night when we were trying to find a parking space to go to the theater, there was the thing that you see and you hate, and it was some dick. He wasn't even in a BMW or a Mercedes. It was not even a really nice car. It was just sort of a gaudy penis extension of a car. Mm-hmm. Double, and not double park, but, you know, taking up two spaces. Parking at an angle, taking up two spaces, and I swear to God, it's one of those moments where if you knew you could get away with it, we could do a whole series of things about if I knew I could get away with it, I would blank, blank, blank. Because if I knew I could get away with it, that dick taking up two spaces with his car, he'd have no air in his tires and no glass in his headlights. F that guy. Okay, here we go. Rick, you can ride Segways downtown. They go 10 to 16 miles an hour. But if they're the upgraded model, they can do 20 miles an hour if it's like a...
four-barrel Segway.
I was going to say, if it's got a Hemi in it. They cost $5,000 and are awesome as hell. I do think the technology's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I've tried to ride one a couple times, and it's just never really worked out. But it does seem like if you're a cop, that's maybe not the same. That's not maybe the ideal way to stay in shape.
Well, they don't
you
have...
can't chase a suspect on a Segway. You look like a tard.
These aren't regular cops anyway. These are rented cops. I guess the downtown merchants hired these rented cops. They look like real cops.
Oh, wait, here we go. Rick, the Segway so-called police are actually TriMet and Portland Business Authority.
Mm-hmm.
Wait for it. Security enforcement officers.
What does that mean?
Okay, this explains so much. I have seen these guys recently. And
they look like real cops.
They look like real cops, but they have a different color scheme. The real bike cops, because I saw some of them on bicycle. Mm-hmm. The real bike cops are black with yellow.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this is how it works. Yellow and black. These guys are black and, I believe, orange.
Oh.
Or maybe black and red. They have ticket writing power, but if any crap hits the fan, they have to call in the real boys in blue. Anyway, every time, like he says, every time the poor Segway guys, every time the Segway guys drive by, he says, you can hear two or three shouts from, come on, Job style.
That's
funny. Seriously, I cannot take anything like that seriously after you see Job Bluth riding around on it.
No, that's ruined it forever.
There's nobody walking around downtown anyway. No. All the sidewalks are closed.
Yes. Yeah, but there's nowhere to... I mean, boy, let me tell you, and I say this as a man. Yes, Seamus, I again failed to bicycle, and today I have no excuse. I've had something going on immediately after work every day for like 10 days. Today, my fat ass was just lazy. And you know what the frustrating thing is? The next time I bike, I break $1,000. raised for the kids.
I cannot believe.
I'm at like 45%. I've dipped below 50%.
I didn't ride my bike today, but it's only because I'm coming back downtown after work. Then I'm riding my bike.
I don't even have that excuse. I'm just lazy. But you will never appreciate the bike more than when you have to go somewhere downtown after the show. Because driving and parking downtown, I mean, it's impossible. It is impossible. So, where did all the homeless guys go then?
I don't know. But we seem to be awash in Law and Order stories for some reason. Did anyone decide to do this Law and Order thing one day only? Because here's another one. There were 175 fewer criminals on the streets of Portland this week. U.S. Marshal Dennis Murray joined the top federal prosecutor for Oregon, U.S. Attorney Karen Immergut, and announced the to announce the third annual sweep of fugitives. More than 130 law enforcement personnel from state and local agencies joined the feds to pick up wanted criminals, most of them accused of violent crimes, firearms violation, and sex offenses. This is Operation Falcon, that's the code name. It'll make the Portland area safer while pooling police resources to make a big dent at what is called the worst of the worst criminal offenders.
Let's take this from the top. First of all, it's called Operation what?
Falcon.
Whatever happened to Operation, you know, just do your job? I don't mean to be another white guy behind a microphone, like, complaining about Law and Order, but seriously.
Well, Falcon looks threatening. It's got a big beak that can hurt people.
Why do they need a special code name for something that is presumably just their job?
Sounds like something out of Dragnet. Sounds more serious.
Like, what if Scotty gave a code name to making the coffee every day? What is this? Well, it's Operation Swooping Crane. But what do you do? You're making coffee. No. Swooping Crane. That's kind of what this is. And so are these people who, they know where they are already?
Apparently so.
They've just been letting him sit there?
Yeah, basically.
So this is
the
like,
worst of the worst have been running around in our presence.
That's wonderful. So this is like if you just don't mow your lawn for about 9 weeks. So it looks really impressive when you finally
violent
get around to
crimes, doing it. Violent crimes, firearms violations, sex offenses.
Are we trying to get the Olympics or something here? Why are we suddenly so concerned with crime?
I know. There are like three crime stories in a row.
This seems
blocking sidewalks, enforcing the law.
Seems like somebody has put these out for a reason. Maybe it's because
they think the mayor is soft on crime.
Why would they possibly think that?
Well, there are a whole bunch of people who were at a little canning establishment not too long ago. Well, we won't bring that.
I'm sure that's been remedied.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, wait, here we got a... Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How are you?
Hi.
When you were talking about the car parked sideways in the lot, that reminded me of back when I was a youngin' in the 70s. Do you remember, well, maybe you don't, but back when they first started putting air dams on the front of cars.
A what?
You know what an air dam is?
No.
If it goes underneath the front bumper. It's like on NASCAR. They have a skirt in the front of the car.
Oh, yeah, it's like a crumple zone.
Yeah, well, it's basically, it's an air dam, and it's there to create a vacuum under the vehicle, so when you're going 140 miles an hour around the turn, it actually sucks your car down, right?
Oh, okay, all right, okay, I'm confusing things, but yes,
yeah.
I understand that, yeah.
Well, okay, so when you look at it, and you're 16 years old, it looks like it's made of steel, you know, it's just a natural assumption. Well, this guy had parked sideways at this dance, and so me and my three buddies, we were going to just lift his car and just bounce it sideways. So we reach out and grab this air dam.
Yeah.
Oh.
Snap right off in your hand?
What a noise. Well, we stopped after it started, you know, popping and stuff.
Excellent. Did you have a segue comment, sir?
No. That's, that was somebody else.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Scotty. All right, bye now. There you go. That's Greg. Not a segue comment at all. All right, here's Jim Riley.
I guess this would be more of a Darwin watch.
Oh, fantastic. I like that. Best day ever. Here's your Darwin watch.
I'm feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Don't. I need all my caps.
Don't.
My parents won't let me use scissors.
Don't.
Another one bites the dust.
Don't.
Another one bites the dust.
And another one gone.
And another one gone.
Another one bites the dust.
Here's your Darwin watch for Thursday.
Oh, my heart just stopped. Ah, there it goes.
Two weird stories from Eugene.
Excellent.
First, a seatbelt saved a driver, but not in the usual way. Stephen Earp was eating a fast food sandwich when he choked and blacked out. His 1977 Honda sedan hit a parked car. After the wreck, Earp came to. His survival is accredited to a seatbelt-induced Heimlich maneuver. Police were told that Earp got out of the car and asked if he was okay. No, I'm not, he said, and he collapsed again.
Fantastic.
Paramedics revived him and then took him to the hospital where doctors examined and said he hadn't been injured. We urge people to take extra time to pull over to the side of the road to enjoy those breakfast sandwiches, say the authorities. The fact that it is a non-fatal accident is extremely lucky. He didn't choke to death or take anyone else out with him because the seatbelt induced a Heimlich maneuver.
That is so great. How satisfying would it have been if he had just choked to death on a breakfast burrito or something right behind the wheel? That's how you want to be discovered. You're in a mouthful of bad bacon and egg.
Part two, also from Eugene, a different story. A suicidal man survives a long fall in Eugene. A 33-year-old man who was trying to hang himself from a construction crane not only failed, but survived an 85-foot fall when the rope around his neck snapped. According to the news release from Eugene Police, the man had climbed out on a construction crane at a job site around 6:30 this morning and wrapped the flag from the crane around his neck.
I bet this is Chinese rope.
Eugene Police firefighters and emergency workers were called, as were members of the crisis negotiating team. They were trying to start talking to the man when he put a noose around his neck and hung himself in the crane. But the rope failed and the man dropped, hitting plywood and wooden trusses, but narrowly missing construction materials, rebar, and concrete posts.
Where was this?
Eugene.
Jesus.
The man was taken to a local hospital. He was conscious, and the nature of his injuries is not known at this time.
Let's see. Hey, by the way, this says about the crackdown on crime. We are, and I don't know if this is true, but this email claims we're going to get a huge visit from Homeland Security in a couple of weeks, performing an emergency control test in Northwest Portland. Again, this is simply a claim. I don't know if this is true. They're going to, this can't possibly be true.
What?
It says Homeland Security will be here. Again, I'm just reading this email. Simulating a dirty bomb explosion in Northwest Portland.
Why don't they do it in St. John's and test out a real one?
That's Tim Riley who said that. We all agree. It is also the opinion of CBS Radio and everyone associated with us.
Well, there is one Homeland Security vehicle here because I see it with its lights blinking in front of the courthouse all the time. Nobody in it.
I think this is a...
I see that car, too.
This is from Aaron. So, I mean, Aaron sort of is in a position to know these things. And he signs it, don't panic. All right, done and done.
See, that's why we're having all this law and order.
All right, so here's how we're going to roll this. Well, before we do anything else, let me just hold on a second. With the I don't even know where my Scotty sounder is. Oh, wait, here we go. This is, if I can just forward with the and the thing. Oh, this is just taking way too long. Scotty, can you please just come to the studio? Thank you so much. Seriously, the Scotty sounder has yet to even open. We are operating today.
Comes into work hungover every day.
It took like an hour. Now I'm already bored with it.
Let's retire that song.
We are operating. We'll make it a recurrent later. We are operating without our Cardomatic software today, which means that the sound effects, I barely knew her, all that stuff.
Oh.
I either have to not play it, or literally, it takes me about an hour to fire up any sort of a.
I made a new one for you, and
here,
I love it.
Here, I hit another one 5 seconds ago. Six.
James Brown is dead.
So it took me 8 seconds to find that and play it. So we're not going to be doing
that.
That's
where you, as a perfection or a perfect DJ, can talk over the 8 seconds.
Don't call.
Are you calling a talk show host a DJ?
I was gonna say, don't call me a DJ. Seriously, that's like
I would call the jockey.
Yeah, there you go.
That doesn't even make any sense.
A jockey. Yeah.
Like you're writing secretariat or something.
I don't know.
How about a talkie?
I can't find the Sporbert noise or the crickets or whatever, but just mentally do that in your head, please. All right, Scotty. So, okay, so we have Storm coming in at 2.
Yes.
We have Roop at, what, 10 after? 1:10? And then I didn't schedule anybody from CNN at 2 o'clock. We learned our lesson yesterday with that. Sarah gave me a new rule, which is I either schedule somebody in 1 or I schedule somebody in 2, not both. So we have Roop coming up at 10 after. We have Storm at 2 o'clock. We are just going to roll forward with the news hour
yes.
And just gonna we're just going to shift it. So we will continue with the news hour on the other side. Adam Schlesinger, you know what? I'm going to operate under the assumption we don't have him. But here's the thing. And if we do, great.
Scotty might surprise you.
That's what I'm saying. It's a happy surprise. If the Fountains of Wayne guy comes together, great. Do a few minutes with him. Great, wonderful, fantastic.
Yeah.
If not, whatever.
Yeah, it's out of my control because he's doing some stuff in Portland right now.
Really?
And
What could possibly take higher priority, Scotty?
He's writing on a
Segway. That's kind of what I told him.
No, Tim knows the answer.
I told him,
Tim,
and the PR
what
guy.
Tim, what in the Portland cluster could be more important than us and, in fact, more important than everyone?
No one.
No? No, you know the answer. What in CBS Radio Portland, Tim, what and who is more important than anyone ever?
Kink?
Yes. So he's at Kink right now.
Well,
Scotty's
I didn't want
being,
to say that.
Scotty's
because...
being diplomatic. I'm not. He's no, that's fine.
That's right. He works for... Well, that's our station.
They're presenting the show. I mean...
Well, the thing is, a couple listeners are now going to tune over there to hear him over there and then come back and say,
I don't even know where to find that.
It's somewhere on the dial.
He's... Dude, we already had Peter, Chris, and Mandy Moore. We're fine.
Seriously. We have a station vehicle, Scotty. Go pick him up.
I'm doing that.
Go kidnap him.
I am.
Go bring him at gunpoint.
I'm taking the big truck limo.
Go with a clown mask and a shotgun. We've come for Adding Schlesinger. And your John Mayer records. All right. Fantastic. We've come for your tweed.
So I'm going to go on the other assumption that it is going to happen.
Well, you
we'll
do
see.
That. You fine. Fantastic. Okay, so we're going to break here. We'll come back with Jim Roop and Tim Riley. We'll continue the Noon News Hour, and we're just going to pretend we're still in the Noon Hour. And no one will know the no one will be the wiser. Later on, Storm Large and our hunt for the second worst story ever, plus a copy of Kissology Volume 2 on DVD. Stay there. Here's Aerosmith. It's a Rick Emerson radio show. Rick Emerson radio program live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up here in a few, we'll talk to CNN radio correspondent James Roop, who apparently wandered around like an idiot asking people to sing Elvis songs. It's wonderful. And you know, that's one of those things that is perfectly tailored for him, because it's at moments like that, wandering around on the 100-degree California heat with a microphone asking a fat guy to sing Love Me Tender, that Jim just wonders exactly what his place in this world really is. Fantastic. All right. 503-733-2970. Jim Roop on the way. Later on, our hunt for the second worst story ever. This hour, we'll try to get that Kissology DVD Volume 2 given away. I feel bad that stuff's always been put in the last hour of the show. Cannibal Watch on the way. Storm Large going to be with us later on. This is whoever this is. Hello, you're on the Rick Emerson radio show. Hi.
Yeah, hi. This is Mark.
What's up, Mark?
Well, yesterday in your little book talk segment when you were talking about Youth and Revolt, I mentioned another book you read recently that you couldn't stop talking about because it was quite disturbing and unsettling.
Yeah, it's I read it last week, and Youth and Revolt I read, can I just tell you this? Let me just sidetrack. And Tim Riley will rejoin us here in just a moment as we'll continue the news hour as well. Let me just sidetrack for a second. So we're talking about Youth and Revolt, which Michael Cera, who is George Michael Bluth and who is in Superbad, he signed on to play the protagonist of Youth and Revolt, a guy named Nick Twisp. And I heard from several people yesterday who were like, I ordered it on Amazon. If it's not good, it's your ass. You know, so trust me, you will love it. I went home last night. I actually brought a copy of Youth and Revolt with me today because Court over at KUFO, he's like, hey, I never heard about that, but now I want to read it. And this is, I swear to God, this is true. And Sarah and I are thinking both like this, that I've given that book to so many people. I keep spare copies of Youth and Revolt around just to give to people.
I have two copies of Girlfriend in a Coma.
Just
because I'll just
out.
Give it to people because it's just like, it's the gift of reading is one of the best gifts you can give.
And I've really loosened up over the years. I used to be real anal about making sure I got my books back, but now I kind of don't lend books. Usually I'll give a book, you know. Youth and Revolt, I brought in my mass market hardback, which I read back in 94 when it first came out. I read a review about it in the LA Times. But I do have to tell you this, one of my prized possessions, and I looked at it last night, just kind of held it in my hands like a dork, and I put it back, is a hardbound first edition of Youth and Revolt when it was only a Bay Area pressing, when it was just published in the Bay Area, and it's a first edition of that book, which is one of my cherished possessions of all time.
That's cool.
So I read Youth and Revolt in 1994, last week, and I've said Youth and Revolt is the funniest, best novel I've read. Last week, I read a book that is now at the opposite end of the spectrum. I read a book last week that is the most harrowing thing. And I've read a lot of dark books. It is the most harrowing thing I have ever read, to the extent that there were nights I would pick it up in bed. You know, my wife and I read a lot in bed, and I would go to bed, and I would pick it up, and I would open it. And there were nights that I would kind of open it up, and I would kind of go, I just can't. And I would close it, and I would put it down, because it was like wrapping myself in a dark funeral shroud just to read this book. So
I was going to take a wild stab at guessing what it was, because
yes.
I read a book like that a couple of months ago.
Go ahead, sir.
Is it The Wasp Factory?
No, The Wasp as in zzz.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, if you want to have another disturbing read, check that one out. I think the author's name is Ian Sinclair.
Do I ever? Is that fiction?
Yeah, it was
factory.
Actually shortlisted for a Booker Prize in England, but one of the reviews, I think it was in The Independent, said, like, you have absolutely no need to read this book unless you want to be
very seriously disturbed.
You know, another book that was like that, I was talking with Fatboy at KUFO, that's like The Hot Zone. If you ever read The Hot Zone, which is the story of the true story of the Ebola virus and how the Ebola virus very nearly escaped into America. The Hot Zone by Richard Preston, that'll keep you awake and spraying everything with Lysol for a few weeks. Yeah.
Right.
I'll talk about this other book later on, The Wasp Factory. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Okay. And one other thing, just real quick. I know you're pressed for time today, but I know you're going to do the search for the second worst story in the world later.
Yeah.
Well, the music that you use for that segment, I went to high school with them.
With the Katrina and the Waves?
I sure did.
Fantastic. Excellent.
They were about 2 years ahead of me over in England. The guitar player, Vince Dela Cruz, his dad was a Spanish teacher and the JV soccer coach.
Excellent. See, now it's relevant to you in like three different ways.
Yep, exactly.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. The Wasp Factory. And by the way, don't feel like Court is bringing me Survivor by Polonic.
Okay, good. Because I don't really know. I just bought it again like 3 months ago, and it's already gone.
Yeah, so
I know because I lent Tuggy Lullaby, and he just finished that, and
excellent.
He loved it.
Lullaby's great.
I think he might have Survivor as well.
So I'm going to lend Court Youth and Revolt. He's going to lend me Survivor. And let me know if you ever want to read the new Copeland. I've got the new Copeland, J-Pot.
Oh, yeah, I totally do.
Yeah. All right, so I've got that hardcover if you want to read that.
Yeah, and I just finished Rant if you want to read that. Okay, let's stop. Where's the music?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, with this... Book Talk with Rick Emerson. Here's Tim Riley. I'm sorry. I apologize, Tim. This whole day, you know what this day is?
What's that?
It's like when you're in the middle of the ocean and you have no navigational signals, you can't see land, and you have no bearings. Today is like that with time. I have no bearings. I don't even know what's happening today.
Here's 118.
Here's Tim Riley.
A Longview woman has been accused of using her children as accomplices to shoplift. Allison Burke was caught inside a Goodwill store, and police say she was using her kids ages 8 and 6 to steal items from Goodwill.
Shoplifting at the Goodwill. Bam!
But, I mean, she's downsizing because she was busted in 2004 for the same crime at a Target, but this store was in Kelso, so apparently she didn't make it all the way from Longview to Kelso this time. Neighbors say they haven't seen the family at home in days. Washington State Child Protective Services is trying to contact her because they say they're worried she might be endangering her children.
Yeah, do you think? All right. Well, there you go. What? Isn't it a Goodwill? Don't they have that, like, dollar bin? Isn't that a Goodwill where they have that bin where everything's,
you know,
like, five for a dollar or something?
I'm not sure about the Goodwills in Washington. The ones here are a bit more upscale.
It's true. Well, here you got your Goodwill.
They hose the stuff down before they put it out.
They give it a good deal, lousy.
They do.
And then you got your Value Village, and then you got your Deseret Industries. And Deseret Industries, which is that's run by the Mormon Church, and they got that. There's one of those up on 82nd across from Car Toys. A better way to go. Here's Tim Riley.
Those two McMinnville middle school kids will go on trial for harassment accused of spanking a female classmate. The judge threw out some evidence yesterday because he believes he didn't understand the Miranda rights, but ruled later in the day the trial will go forth, likely starting next week.
Wait, hold on. These are the spanking kids?
Yeah, the spanking kids.
I thought that... Oh, I can never... I don't know what the hell is going on with
these
goddamn stories.
These are harassment charges. These are different charges. The other one was sex abuse.
Oh, seriously. Can't
you know, this is harassment.
Seriously, just everybody just man up. Jesus. Quit
Let's
being...
see, it's Judge John Collins. Oh. Usually he's a pretty nice guy. I know this judge.
Generation of soft kids. I mean, seriously, how can they not be guilty? This is like the O.J. thing. It's exactly like that. How can they have been found, have the other charges dismissed, and yet they're going to court anyway? It seems like you either got to try them on everything or try them on nothing.
For harassment. The two are accused of swatting the fannies and poking or grabbing the
Fanny.
Breasts of lady classmates, right. As well as engaging in party boy dancing. Inspired by the movie Jackass.
Somebody sent me a YouTube video of party boy dancing. Boy, is that retarded.
I guess that's what these kids engaged in. They're only middle school kids.
Seriously, they ought to just be charged for being idiotic. Really, that's idiotic and lame. That's the defendant should charge with extreme whiteness and lameness. Here's Tim Riley.
We'll do a cannibal watch now.
Here's your cannibal watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show. Lord.
This comes to us from Miami. A man on trial for cannibalism tells a judge he's found God.
I'm sorry, I totally missed the... never mind. I totally missed the... Miami!
Well, Lazaro Galindo,
no.
Who's accused of killing a romantic rival and eating his organs, acted on his own. Glenda criticized the media and other potential jurors for keeping their minds open to unfamiliar religions. Let's say the Church of Satan, some people don't think it exists. It actually exists. It actually has members, Glenda told the potential jurors. But we don't worship Satan, pray to Satan, sacrifice kids to Satan. Galindo, whose prosecutors have referred to as Hannibal, will be representing himself against the charges that he killed 44-year-old Angelio Gonzalez, reportedly a rival to his girlfriend's affections.
Those are always the most entertaining trials, too. There are few phrases that make your heart beat faster than when there's some nutcase being charged with some weird crime, and the phrase, will represent himself, because that's when you know you've got lots of comedy value coming down the pike.
Ben dismembered the body and ate some of the organs in July of 2000. The crime was uncovered when children playing in Miami Park discovered body parts in a garbage can.
Yeah.
Before the proceedings, Galindo told the judge he was no longer a member of the Church of Satan, and that he found God while in jail. I converted to God. I found God, he said.
Wearing his dismembers only jacket.
Mm-hmm. Assistant State Attorney Herb Walker. That should be Herb Walker.
Herb Walker. You become like a reverse Brit all of a sudden, dropping letters left and right.
Said Galindo had told investigators he had an unstable desire to eat human flesh.
Well, who doesn't? Babies taste like chicken, you know. Yeah. There's your cannibal watch for Thursday, the Rick Emerson radio program. Lord. Here's Tim Riley.
Are we sure something large and red is throbbing on your computer screen? Does that mean we're doing something else?
Let's clarify now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little.
There was.
On the call screening software, there's a little red note window that pops up on which I had typed Jim Roop? Question mark. Wondering if Roop was going to be appearing because he was supposed to be on about 10 after. But it's been such a great, chaotic day that I didn't know if that was lost in the shuffle or if he called and we didn't get him or if Scotty had canceled it to make time or if he was late or whatever. That's the red throbbing thing on my computer screen, by the way, for those who are...
It has gone away.
Yes, put it away.
From Kansas City comes word a man threw his seriously ill wife 4 stories to her death because he could no longer afford to pay for her medical care. This is going to be a political story. I can see it now.
Like a throw mama from the roof kind of thing.
Somebody's going to snap this up. Apparently, Stanley Reamer locked his wife to the balcony of their apartment, kissed her, and then threw her over. The body of Christy Reamer was found outside the apartment building near an upscale country club. Stanley Reamer remains jailed on $250,000 bond. In a probable cause statement filed with the charges, police say Reamer was desperate because he couldn't pay the bills for his wife's treatment for problems with cancer.
Wait, so cancer? So did he?
She had no health insurance to pay for medical bills that range from $700 to $800 per week.
Where is this at?
Kansas City.
So
America's
did she? America, salt of the earth there, Tim. God's people. Mm-hmm. Was this voluntary? In other words,
it was involuntary that she was thrown from a...
Well, then why would you go up and stand at the edge of the rooftop with your husband if you've got cancer? Doesn't that seem a little suspicious, like from jump?
Maybe it was a romantic moment to look at the stars.
Oh. Yes. Would you like to look at the stars? Also the pavement?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I guess you're right. You know, I bet Michael Moore somewhere is, you know, sad that that didn't happen last year.
Mm-hmm.
If only he'd had a camera crew there. Jesus. Rick! Have you read that? What a weird world we live in. What a weird day. Have you read the sequel to Youth and Revolt?
Yes, I have.
Is it good? No, it is not. Skip that. Yeah, don't read any of the sequels. Rick, about The Wasp Factory. It's by Ian Banks. It's bizarre and terrifying and genius. It's a short novel, can be read in one sitting. It puts my hair on end just to think about it. He also does great sci-fi under a different name. Great author. That's from Matt. Well, fantastic. I might read Survivor next. If Court brought that day. If not, I might go pick that up. I'm kind of on a... This makes me sound like such a hillbilly. I was going to say, I'm doing a lot of that reading lately. Whenever I'm between gigs or on vacation or something, I try to read a lot. But then, you know, this job just takes a lot of time. And,
it's 4 hours a day.
You make it sound so slight. Why do you diminish the workload? And sometimes I don't get a chance to read, but lately I've just been knocking them out, man, like a book a week. So I'm going to try to keep that going. So if I don't read Survivor, I may pick up this Wasp Factory book. All right, here's Tim Riley.
A man has pled guilty to his role in a multi-state scheme in which prosecutors say he and his wife intentionally ate glass at restaurants and collected more than $200,000 in compensation. Ronald Avano pleaded guilty to 20 counts, including conspiracy, mail fraud, wire fraud, identity theft. Avano and his wife, Mary, filed fraudulent insurance claims worth more than $200,000, collected more than $200,000, and left a trail of unpaid medical bills totaling more than $100,000. Several states. The two were treated at hospitals for glass ingestions at least a dozen times. They collected payments from insurance companies but never paid their hospital bills. The arrest came after Mary was arrested on the same charges as her husband. She's still on the loose. We'd go into a restaurant and I'd say, I have glass in my food. Then I'd go to the hospital and say I was in pain. Over the years, one or both have claimed to eat in glass. In establishments in Braintree in Quincy, Massachusetts, Bethesda and Gaithersburg, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Providence, Rhode Island, even Virginia, the couple used false names, false social security numbers, their newest epidemic, and identity cards. They could receive up to 100 years in prison.
Speaking of politics, this is a lot like Choke, actually. You've read Choke, right, Sarah?
Yeah. No, I haven't.
All right.
I mean, I've never read it because I really do have a fear of choking.
Yeah. I mean, I won't give anything away, but I mean, you find out on like the first page. That's how the guy supports himself. Is he pretends to choke in restaurants, and then people, you know, save him and give him money, you know, and so that's the deal. So this glass eating business sounds a lot like that. Is this? This is Jim Rupp. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles. CNN Radio correspondent to the stars and living deity, Jim Roop. How are you, sir?
Woo-hoo. Sorry I'm late, man.
That's a dude. You have no idea. You have no... I'm sorry, I'm snorting again.
I have no idea how late I really am.
No, you have no idea what kind of a day it's been. As Aaron Sorkin would say, what kind of day has it been? It's been a great day, but man, we have just been... Every 5 minutes, there has just been some momentous, tumultuous thing happening on the program today. So your postponement of appearance on the show fits right in, my friend.
Well, thank you.
Don't you worry about it at all. So I mentioned this earlier. This is one of those things where... I don't know whether you volunteered to do this or whether CNN asked you to do this or a combination of the both. But so you're wandering around in Los Angeles with a microphone asking people to sing Elvis songs.
Yeah.
And it's labeled as, this is how they've labeled it, it's another must listen from Jim Roop, when I have no doubt that that is true. So where have you been wandering and what kind of people have you been running into, Jim?
Well, you know, you go everywhere. You go to movie theaters, malls, any place where there are crowds of people. Because when you try to ask somebody who's by themselves to sing Elvis, they don't do it. So you got to get a crowd of people so they egg each other on. It takes, I don't know, several hours and 50 people to talk to before you get 10 they're going to be decent enough to put on the air.
Let me ask you this. Of the percentage of people you talk to, what percentage would you say were just completely mouth-breathing unusable?
Ooh. 60%.
I was gonna guess 50 to 70. So now, do you have sound, or is this a thing that I need to play off the site here?
I don't have anything on my fingertips.
I think I've got the sound. Let me see if I can find this. Let's see. Producer picks, latest cuts, most popular. Boy, I don't even wait. Where would I even find this? Let me see here. Let's. I'm desperately trying to find one of those. Our Jim Roop is on the scene talking to. Let's see.
What scene was I on?
I have no idea. I'm just, let's see, Simpson book. Oh, here we go, Jim Roop. No, this
is... Oh, by the way, I can tell you for a fact that what you have is accurate.
Oh, the O.J. Simpson book.
Oh, that's it.
Is that true, really?
I talked with the literary agent today, and during the course of my interview, I said, hey, look, and I read some of the stuff to her. She said, yeah, that's it.
Boy, it's, you know, and so when, do we know when that book is coming out?
Next month.
Next month. The Goldman family is putting out the book next month, and do we know what the title is and if there's any...
Nothing has changed.
Is there any, there's no commentary, there's nothing.
There will be commentary.
Uh-huh.
They will, they're not changing a punctuation mark.
Interesting.
Especially that chapter 6, man, that is, did you read that yet?
The night in question?
Son, I'm here to tell you. And she said, you know, she said that in all her years of working, she works strictly nonfiction, that there is no way anybody who, the person, how am I going to put this, the detail is so precise that there is no way the person who did not commit the crime could come up with that kind of detail.
Well, because a lot of that was presumably stuff that only the cops and so forth knew.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, the conversations between Simpson, Goldman, and his wife and all that stuff, and this guy Charlie that's supposed to be there. I mean, holy mackerel.
That's the other thing is like, okay, we should give a little backstory. So there's this O.J. Simpson book, which the Goldman family now owns and is going to put out. And you may have already told me this. Did you say same title, different title?
Same title.
Same title, if I did it. So it leaked onto the internet, I don't know, about 6-7 weeks ago. Sort of an internal, they said now, somebody has said that they think now it's an internal copy from the publishing house or something. And I did read that chapter called The Night in Question, and it really is freaky. A, because he's describing this double murder in such horrific detail, and B, because O.J., who, you know, wrote this with a ghostwriter, because he's so clearly just nuts, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean like a psychopathic nuts. I mean like that he is so clearly in his own head just come to some weird sort of schizophrenic denial about it, and that he's creating this whole fictitious character named Charlie who was supposedly at the murder scene. I mean, it's just unnerving. It really is.
As I was reading it, I was thinking to myself, you know, if I'm going to write a fictional account of something that happened, if I were to do that thing, I wouldn't be putting in things like, then I blacked out and didn't know where I was. And I mean, that's... He's explaining himself in that context, not giving just some sort of rhetoric or account of what he would have done if he did that. I mean,
right.
He was reliving it.
Yeah.
It seemed,
yeah.
Writing that.
Yeah.
It's very chilling. It really is.
The other chilling thing about the book is that, I mean, so much of it is written like it is this retroactive trying to show how much he loved Nicole. And, like, the opening of the book and the closing of the book are both, I think, him speaking to Nicole Brown Simpson and saying a lot of things like, Nicole, I just don't know what went wrong. I guess, you know, we should have been together forever, baby, or something. And it just gives you the creeps, man. I mean, just icky is the word I would use for that. So, yeah.
Anyway, sorry to go off on that tangent.
No, that's okay. I mean, it is a big story. Okay, I've got here this Elvis thing. So let's just see what the CNN website has.
It took a while, but we finally found people who aren't afraid to honor Elvis with a little tribute impersonation.
What's your first name, sir?
Sterling.
Do you have a favorite Elvis song, Sterling?
You ain't no but a hound dog.
Keep going.
That's pretty good right there.
Heartbreak Hotel, is that him?
Let's hear it.
Heartbreak Hotel. That's real good. We're going to get a female perspective now. Do you have a favorite Elvis song?
Don't step on my blue suede shoes, yeah.
Very good.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, that's nice.
CNN Los Angeles.
Oh, I hate America.
God, that makes me want to barf.
I weep for this country. All right, let's play one more. I don't know what this is. Hopefully this is not more people singing. Let's find out. This is...
Ask anyone to name their favorite Elvis song, everyone names one. Ask them to sing it, only a few do. But the ones who do...
A Hunk of Burning Love, I guess.
Give me a little Hunk of Burning Love?
A little Hunk of Burning Love, baby. Oh, there you go. Well, thank you very much.
That's... If I close my eyes, I think I'm in Vegas.
Hound dog.
Well, give me a little hound dog.
Can't nothing but a hound dog. Crying all the time.
Oh, that's, I'm very impressed. If I had money, I'd give it to you.
Anyway, you do it, that's all right.
Oh, that's all right. What's your first name?
That's all right.
Elvis. Even though we can find several Elvi, we still miss the original king. Jim Roop, CNN, Los Angeles.
Bonus points, by the way, Jim, for use of the word Elvi.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, really, it is kind of staggering. I don't know what your criteria was for picking some of those folks.
I just walked up to people.
It is interesting that
when doing MOS, you got to go by, if you throw enough crap on the wall, some of it's going to stick.
Yeah, the idea that for one of the biggest selling performers in the history of the world, that really no one you talked to was able to accurately recreate one of his songs is sort of interesting. Oh, good Lord. All right. Well, we've covered O.J., we've covered Elvis. Really, those are the polar twins of the American experience. There's really nowhere else to go today, Jim. So, all right, my friend, enjoy the rest of your day. Go have a cold beverage for us.
Hey, I'm right next to the fridge, babe.
Excellent. Thank you, my brother. We'll talk to you soon. There you go. CNN radio correspondent James Roop.
Hey, do you know who Vincent Chase is dating in real life now?
You mean Adrienne Grenier?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Paris Hilton.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Well, you know, because what's-his-name is dating Nikki Hilton.
No, he was. They had a bad breakup, like about a year ago.
Well, that's going to be awkward.
If the guy that plays
Eve broke up
with Nikki Hilton and now Adrian Grenier is dating Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton?
I don't know. But I guess he had cheated on her. That guy, what's Eric's real name?
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever that actor guy.
Who cares?
Yeah. And he had cheated on her, and so there was a huge, horrible breakup, and Paris Hilton was, I just remember, like, them getting into feuds and stuff, and now she's dating him.
I just don't understand. I don't understand who decides I could date any woman. Because that guy, you know, that Adrian Grenier guy, I mean, in addition to being famous, he's a good-looking guy.
He's got really hot and drives me crazy.
And let me just say this now. Let me just grow bosoms here, right on the air. In The Devil Wears Prada, he looked exactly like Entourage.
Exactly.
It's like he just popped over from the Entourage set. But, I mean, you know, and I think probably the hotness factor for that guy is probably cranked up by dint of the fact that he plays a movie star. And as Mandy Moore said earlier today when we were talking with her, that people can't really tell the difference. And so I think a lot of women probably see him and they see Vincent Chase.
Paris Hilton does seem dumb enough to be like, ooh, look, I'm dating Vincent
Chase. I'm dating Aquaman. So, anyway. Well, all right, there you go. How weird that those guys on Entourage probably each now have an Entourage. All right, we should break here. God damn, is it 1:40?
Sure is.
Fastest show ever. All right, let's see. We'll do this. We'll come back with Tim Riley, a giveaway of Kissology Volume 2, second worst story ever, Storm Large coming up. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Good golly, Miss Molly.
Hey, this is Gene Simmons.
And this is Paul Stanley from KISS. Kissology Volume 2, 1978 to 1991, the ultimate KISS collection on DVD is in stores now. And we want you to have a copy. For more details on how you can win one, keep it locked to AM 970 Solid State Radio.
That's fantastic. And even more than that, let me just...
Hey, this is Gene Simmons.
And this is Paul Stanley. Call to win now.
Ah, how great is that? Let's see. Do we have one of them saying the number? We're going to take caller number 5.
Hey, this is Gene Simmons.
And this is Paul Stanley. Here's the number to call.
Oh, I guess not. 503-733-2970. Why do I suspect that one turned up at about 100 different radio stations? We'll take caller number 5 right now. 503-733-2970. Caller number 5 to attempt to win a copy of Kissology Volume 2. Caller number 5. Right.
Hey, this is Gene Simmons.
And this is Paul Stanley. Call to win now.
Yeah. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You'll get your chance at Kissology Volume 2. Where did I put my Kissology information? Hold on. I'll find it. It's around here somewhere. Kissology Volume 2 and VH1 Classic present. Blah, blah. I don't even know where the hell I put it. Oh, here we go. VH1 Classic Records announces the second installment of the number one smash Kissology DVD series in stores now. Kissology Volume 2, 1978 to 1991, including a never-before-seen. I have to go buy one of these, if only because I want to know what the hell this is all about. Listen to this, and this is, I'm speaking now to the Kiss fans. You'll understand what this means. We'll include never-before-seen European version of the rare cult classic film Kiss in Attack of the Phantoms. So, this has got to be... I mean, this is Kiss meets the Phantom of the Park. It has to be. But I wonder if this is like a special... Well, it does say a European version of the film. So I guess it must have just had a different title in Europe. Available for the first time on DVD. Because Kiss meets the Phantom of the Park, which Peter Criss was talking about earlier, that is out on DVD. It's kind of like a low-budget, no-frills thing, I think. But this is the European cut of the film. And I guess there it's called Kiss in Attack of the Phantoms. Interesting. Well, whatever. You know, and James, who works in the afternoon, he actually picked a copy of this up in the store this week, and I think he has Kissology Volume 1. I saw Kissology Volume 1 at CD Game Exchange for like, I don't know, like $9, $10. Didn't ask him to hold it, came back, and it was gone. Bunch of bastards.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, so I have to go buy it full price. That's fine. Kissology, because they can order as well, friends. Kissology Volume 2, 1978, 1901, 1991. An expanded three-disc set boasting nearly 7 hours of rare or never-before-seen footage featuring notorious television interviews and Kiss music videos. That is Kissology Volume 2, 1978, 1991 from VH1 Classic Records. All right. Let us now take caller number 5. Hi. Hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi there.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
Hi there, sir. Are you a Kiss fan?
Oh, I sure am.
Excellent. All right, my friend. You have your choice here. You can either play Complete That Kiss Lyric or you can answer a Kiss trivia question. What is your choice?
How about the the trivia question.
Kiss trivia question. All right, this one's fairly easy. If you are a Kiss fan, you'll know this one. The Kiss movie, Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park, apparently known in Europe as Kiss and Attack of the Phantoms, was largely filmed at what American amusement park?
Was it Universal?
Universal Studios?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, sir. That is incorrect. I'm sorry. And you've won nothing. You've won nothing but shame on yourself and your family.
Wow.
Let me just hold on. Let me see if I can play you out with a maybe I'll find something uplifting from Kiss to play for you.
Well, Rick, you still rock, though.
Well,
Hi, this is Gene Simmons. Call now to win.
Well, I guess that doesn't apply to you. That's all right. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
That's just mean, right?
I'm sorry. I thought it was something like, you know, don't worry, little partner. All right, let's take caller number six then, and we'll just go through these. We'll do a couple here. We'll see if somebody gets it. If not, we'll revisit it next hour. Hi, what is your name, sir?
Mike.
Hi, Mike. Are you a Kiss fan?
Not really.
Ha! All right, then. Well, then, who's to say if you will get this right or not? Do you want to complete that lyric, or do you want to play Kiss trivia for this thing that you apparently don't care all that much about?
All right, let's do the trivia.
Trivia. Oh, see, now I've got to come up with something. Hold on.
And you're going to make it extra hard just to spite him.
Seriously. That's what I'm talking about.
But we never found out what music park it was at.
Oh, it was a Magic Mountain. I'm sorry. Six Flags Magic Mountain. That's,
yeah, see, I was just going to guess one of those amusement parks.
Yeah,
I guess.
That wasn't my fault.
Let's be creative.
All right, sir. Are you really?
I think he's heckling you.
Seriously, am I being heckled and taunted even as I'm trying to give you something for free that you don't even really care about?
Perhaps.
Okay. All right. Here's how we'll do this. In Kiss, of course, the lead singer for Kiss named Paul Stanley. Paul is not his real name. What is Paul Stanley's real first name, sir?
Oh, I wanted to say Iggy or something crazy like that, but I don't know.
Yeah, that would be so wrong that it can't even be calculated.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Bye now. All right. That's, you know, I was going to give him something a little easier, but you're right. I think I may have just... I have a pile of pre-prepared questions. I did pull that one more or less at random. Let's do one more. Scotty, I'm just going to hit the next button, and we'll take who's never's next. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, sir. Are you a Kiss fan?
Certainly.
All right, good. And yeah, you don't have to be a Kiss fan to win, but it's going to be a little easier. Sir, would you prefer Kiss trivia, or would you prefer complete that Kiss lyric?
Oh, give me the trivia. That sounds like a plan.
All right, sir. Let's see. All right, I'll give you this one. Here's a little Kiss trivia for you. Okay, so we have now revealed that Paul Stanley's first name is... And what is your name?
Thomas.
Thomas. We have now revealed that Paul Stanley's first name is not, in fact, Paul. Now, of the other remaining members, Peter, Chris, Gene Simmons, Ace Frehley, which of those members was actually born Paul?
I'm going to go with Peter Criss.
No, sadly, you are wrong, sir.
Damn it.
Peter Criss, born Peter Criscola. Gene Simmons, born Gene Klein, or Chaim, depending. And Ace Frehley, that would have been your tip-off, sir, that he goes by the name of Ace. Ace Frehley, born Paul Frehley.
Terribly sorry to have wasted your time.
That's how to lose graciously. Thank you.
By the by, do you know how you've made it as a talk show personality?
I of all people would have no idea. No.
When you interview a member of KISS.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mike.
You guys rock. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We'll revisit that later. Scotty's typing on the screen. Move on. No, we're thanks, Scotty. No, we'll revisit that here in just a skosh, as they say. Well, I think Storm is coming in, like in the 2 o'clock hour, something like that. So, I don't know. We'll do that later when Storm is in the studio. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Well, I'm kind of weighing this. I've got this top five to get to, and I've been putting it out for like a year. I got the top five. I got this news pile. I got our hunt for the second worst story ever, and I've got teen drug slang. So Scotty can find out what his teens are abusing their bodies with. Sarah, what do you think?
I'll go with C.
What was C?
Teen drug slang.
Scotty J, would you please come to the, let's see, do I have something? Let's play to Scotty.
Hi, this is
no,
Gene Simmons.
No, damn it.
All
right, Scotty.
Oh, good lord.
I'm sorry. Look, I don't have my card-o-matic over
here.
I'm
going to take those away from you. I don't know how.
Frig, if you can't play nicely with your Kiss things. All right. Hi, Scotty J in the studio now. Hello, sir.
How's it going?
Hi, how are you? Busy day for you over there?
Super. Yeah. And this is going to be total ungripping radio for you.
No, that's fine. You're getting, you know, you're getting a little bit of a reprieve here because this is like a few minutes when
do
you don't have to be booking guests. Let's see. Do we have, let's see if I have the suburban perspective
yeah.
music. And again, everything today is having to come off our hard drive, like with Windows Media Player. And, you know how well those things are designed. This must be on my C drive. This is the really gripping part when I'm looking through my drives live on the air. Let's see. So then Waves. My Waves folder. Oh, here we go. All right. Let me just... There we go. Fantastic. Hi, Scotty.
Oh, this brings me back.
So like last week. This brings me back to Friday.
This puts me in Beaverton.
Do you remember doing the Suburban Perspective on Friday?
Was I on the show Friday?
Do you remember doing this?
I don't remember hardly anything.
I'm just screwing with you. You didn't do one of these. But we should list, this is a great idea, one of these days, we should list like three things that you did on Friday, one of them made up, and we'll see if you can spot which thing you actually didn't do on Friday.
kind of like your guest list thing that we need to continue finishing, so I can tell people.
Oh, did we never finish that?
We never did that.
Did I actually never give you a copy
never.
Of that guest list that we put together? Because
nope.
You can now add to it Mandy Moore and Peter Criss, by the way.
Which will score points for
seriously.
Sure.
Seriously. Well, dude, when is the last... Look, not to be all about waxing our own car, but seriously, sometimes you... You gotta brag on yourself sometimes. Sarah, do you know what's okay sometimes?
What?
Bragging on yourself.
Oh, my God.
You gotta brag on yourself, Sarah.
But listen.
Hey, man.
It's all right.
Do you know that Dr. Phil has a diet book out? Do you think
he is ugly, fat, and bald?
Do you think it's
and
strange
I hate him.
That people would take diet advice from someone who appears to be overweight?
He's all squishy and self-righteous.
Yeah, but he brags on himself.
And rich.
Listen.
You always all right sometimes.
You've got to brag on yourself.
Brag on yourself.
Hey, man.
Okay, I'm going to get him on the show now
please
after
don't.
That.
No.
Seriously, I'll kill you. All right, Scotty. I have this now. Somebody sent this to me. This is from CBS News. So a proud sister organization to us. Teen drug slang, Scotty. A dictionary for parents. Scotty, is your teen robo-tripping on triple C? Probably. How would you know that, Scotty, if you don't even know what that means?
You're right.
It's very important.
I know what robo-tripping is.
On triple C?
I don't know what that is. Is robo-tripping Robitussin?
I don't know. We'll give Scotty the... Not robot. Scotty's
like
popping
robot.
And locking. Attention, fat boy. Scotty's popping and locking in the studio, Alfonso Ribeiro style.
That's what you look like when you're robo-tripping.
Stop it. Scotty, it's very important that that parents brush up on slang, because just like with text messaging, kids use all these abbreviations. This is not written like a real news story. And parents don't know what they mean. Scotty, do you know what text abbreviating means?
That's where LOL.
Can you throw some...
There's one
Sarah,
right
can you throw a piece of internet or text slang at Scotty and see if he knows what it means?
TTYL.
Talk to you later.
Very good. How about TTFN?
TTFN.
This one's retarded. I don't even know why I know it.
Yeah, that is the dumbest thing.
But I know it for some reason.
For... Is the F four? The
no.
word for?
No. Yes. Yes, it is. I'm sorry. Yes. TTFN.
Thank you for noticing. Or,
Hold on. Stop. TTFN is thank you for noticing?
I guess the kids these days don't notice much.
Yes, the kids these days. They can't spell. How about one more? How about ASL?
Later for the L. Am I right? Just tell me if I'm right on single words.
No. When people text message or are...
So long? Is it so long?
No.
Something? Okay.
No, you've got neither of those right.
I
ASL.
I give. Is it a new football league?
Yes, I play for the ASL. I play for the Ass League. Where do you play? I'm a big fan of the Ass League.
ASL, what is that?
ASL is...
Age, sex, location?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Age, sex, location. It's like a hello...
Who are you?
Are you someone
Why are you texting me?
Are you someone I can hump? Are you within humping distance?
Well, it's good to know that.
Well, I'm just saying. All right. Let's see. Here we go. But, Scotty, the more you understand what your kids are talking about, the more you will be able to monitor your kids' behavior, says some guy specializing in addiction at the Cleveland Clinic. Honk, honk. In Ohio. I don't have the card-o-matic. I can't play it.
That
Anyway, apparently CBS News, it says here, went directly to the experts on the front line of teen drug abuse to get a better handle on today's teenage drug slang. Here is what you need to know about teens and drugs today, Scotty. All right, how old are your kids? You got a boy and a girl, right?
13 and 9.
How old is the girl?
13.
Oh, she's the one that's, she's going to be trouble. 13-year-old girl. Ask Susan Reynolds about that. All right, Scotty. What is, let's see. Oh, this is, okay, now some of these are slang. Some of these are just actual drugs.
Scotty, I'm not going to know any of these.
Well, but see, Scotty, if you don't know, how can you prevent your children?
You're
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Do your kids text message? Are they IM?
My daughter is semi-learning how to do that, but not really, because we watch our kids. And, you know, hopefully it won't get out of control one of these days. But I have the best kids in the world and wife. Hope you're listening.
Uh-huh.
Right
now. Someone's throwing the dog.
Yeah,
no,
someone's
not.
Trying to dig
I do
their
have
way
the
out.
Best kids.
Fantastic. Someone's
wife.
Desperately trying to dig their way out of the hole here. Fantastic. All right. So, all right. Well, whatever you say. Okay, Scotty, I'm gonna list off some of these, and you then please to be telling me if you know what these mean. Oh, by the way, do you know what BRB means?
Be right back.
There you go.
Look at
good
you.
For you. Batting one out of something. Okay, Scotty, some of these are slang, some of these are just terms. Scotty, do ye know what dextromethorphan is? Or as the kids call
okay.
it, DXM.
I'm going to take a guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know any of these, by the way. But it's having to do with some Dexatrim all chopped up, right?
I don't even think they
what?
Sell Dexatrim anymore. Do they even
no?
sell Dexatrim these days?
Sure.
He says, really
well,
energetically. Yeah!
Dexa something.
I just had some!
You have like crazy eyes right now.
I do not.
Yes, you do.
It's sweating a little bit.
Think about it. Dexa something. Sounds like they're chopping
You're
it.
Thinking it's Dexedrine.
Wait, are you thinking Dexatrim like the diet supplement?
Yes.
I think Dexa...
Lose weight and get high at the same time.
That's Scotty J saying that, by the way. We don't advocate... Your body is a temple of Jesus. Or of the Masons, depending. No. Let's stop now.
Okay,
let's address all the inanities just like in no particular order. A, no. B, I don't think they sell Dexatrim anymore. And C, I think even when they sold Dexatrim, I think about halfway through that, they started taking out all the ingredients that worked, like with everything. Because as soon as something works, that's when they take it off the market, right? That's how you know something's effective, because the police won't let you sell it anymore. C, like, I mean, I am old enough, I mean, this is only 10 years ago, probably, but I'm old enough to remember when you could just go in and buy a big bottle of ephedrine for like $3. Those were the days. You want to talk about being productive? You want to talk about just getting through your workload and having like 3 days where you didn't have anything to do because you got it all done in one night? That, man, those golden days are gone forever. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Joining us in studio for this segment, the one and only Storm Large.
Hi, hello.
Storm.
Hello.
Hey,
good.
Storm.
Nice to see you.
I don't mean to bring you in right as we're talking about Dexatrim. That really is just an accident. Dexatrim
no,
used to be
still,
sold.
No, I think they sell it. They just call it different things now. It's like it's still trucker speed.
Dexatrim used to be sold in these red and yellow packages, and it was a red and yellow capsule. And I dated a girl one time who took a lot of Dexatrim.
Mm-hmm.
And Dexatrim, I believe at one point, had Dexedrine in it. And Dexedrine is a very powerful amphetamine. That's what Hugh Hefner took all the way through the 60s was Dexedrine.
Mm-hmm.
Which
wow.
I think is related to Benzedrine, but I'm not really sure. But I think Dexedrine was a really powerful speed. And that was what was in Dexatrim. And it wasn't so much that, like, it was a diet aid so much as it was just, like, speed and you just had no appetite, I guess.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
all.
I never
they,
took
that's
it.
All. Those were diet pills in the days, and that's why teenage girls were so much fun to hang out with because they were all...
Seriously.
So Dexatrim was, like, a form of caffeine speed. Dexatrim.
No, not caffeine.
Yeah.
It was, like, full-on.
It was speed.
Amphetamine,
it was,
I think.
It was kind of
wow.
like caffeine. It was an ene. It was one of
anything
the
anything ending in ene is good.
Except it starts punching little holes in your aortic tissues and stuff. I think that's what happened with the fen-phen.
Yeah.
The
yes.
fen-phen. People
oh, yeah,
started getting
fen-phen.
They started getting holes in their heart.
Because phenylalanine or whatever, that was the fen and fen-phen.
The fun
that
in fen-phen. Put in a fun back in fen-phen.
And as I said, I remember... working, well, I remember when I lived in Utah, I remember you could go into any convenience store and there was the big case of like bottles behind the counter and it was always like, you know, for asthma, you know, or whatever. And it was clearly just like speed.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it was like $4.
Mm-hmm.
And then fast forward to me having been fired and working at a convenience store, and I worked at a convenience store right as they were getting rid of that. And you could no longer, instead it was like, you know, things of like bee pollen. Like there's
oh,
no
yeah.
longer anything that works. everything that's effective is eventually taken off the market. It's very depressing.
Yeah, all these darn kids dying on the stuff, ruining it for everyone else.
And it's always some idiot,
yeah,
some like Len Bias type guy, mm-hmm, who takes 15 bottles and then does, you know, wind sprints in the sun.
Pills and stuff.
And his heart explodes out of his chest like a Giger painting.
It's our fault.
Yeah, seriously. And then we got to pay. You know, but it's like one moronic retard with a tetherball, and suddenly I have no fun when I'm a child. Do you know they're selling tetherballs again?
Yep.
I had no idea.
I didn't think they stopped selling tetherballs.
Oh, yeah.
They
took
them off playgrounds.
This is a generational thing.
No, they sell them at sporting goods stores now instead of toy stores.
At the wrap party for the film, we were talking to that girl, Sarah Moon. She's like, I got a tetherball. We should go get it. And I'm like, what, tetherball? And everybody over the age of 30, their heads swiveled. And we were like, tetherball? Because there was a while when you couldn't buy those.
Really?
Because there was some, you know, some mouth breather would hit it, wrap around it, you know, and suddenly you couldn't get that. And lawn darts. That was the other thing. They all went into the same burn bin.
Those are just scary.
Lawn darts?
Yeah, but they're great. Metal spikes.
Yes, they are, Sarah.
Those are hard to come by, too, but I think you can still get those in sporting stores.
You can kill a guy with one of those. Like, if you got another guy to hold, if you got somebody else to hold him down.
They took them off the market for a while.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, so, Scotty, dextromethorphan is a drug contained in over-the-counter cough suppressants. After, attention, listeners, after 900 milligrams, it becomes a hallucinogen, apparently. Synonyms.
Robitussin, right?
Yes. Synonyms for this are Candy, Drex, Red Devils, Skittles, or Robo. Apparently, it's also called Tussin.
Well, I got
in the urban community.
I believe that because I was sick a couple years back and was taking cough syrup, and I didn't know if it was night or day by day number two.
And
I wasn't
taking,
abusing
like, NyQuil?
It.
What were you
like Robitussin type stuff.
Yeah. So apparently we take a lot of that.
I didn't know if it was night or day.
All right, Scotty. What is... Oh, and by the way, people who abuse that are referred to as syrup heads, Scotty.
Bring me some pancakes.
Seriously. All right, triple C, Scotty. Do you know what triple C is?
You know, I've heard this before.
From the kids.
And I know it's not healthy.
No.
Well, they say
nothing enjoyable is good for you.
They say to drink, you know, a bunch of vitamin C and orange juice.
This is triple C.
Triple C. I have no idea.
Your children could be doing all of these. How would you even know? That apparently is for Coricidin, HBP, cough and cold medicine, Scotty, which is another thing the kids are... And when I was growing up, they would just take the bottle of Robitussin. My friend Kelly, she had like this velociraptor jaw that would just unhinge. She would just open it and put the Robo bottle in her mouth and just tip her throat, and it would just go right down the throat. And she'd do an entire... You get in the back of her, or into her car, and in the back seat, it was just like a mound of empty Robitussin bottles in her back seat.
I had a friend named Luann who had a Robitussin painting on her leather jacket.
That is so great.
That's how she would start every night.
That's subtle.
Before she started hitting the other pills and things she would imbibe.
Yeah.
A bottle of Robitussin.
Those girls are always hot, too. There's something about girls that do that. I don't know what it is. No, seriously. It's always the hottest girls that do that. She was just hot as balls.
There's just something really hot about a girl who's passed out and can't really defend herself.
That is not the view of CBS.
Of course not.
Oh, Scotty, don't do that.
Anywho, Scotty, we'll start. We'll give you an easy one. What is crank, Scotty?
Crank, crack.
Oh, come on. This is like 100,
methamphetamine,
Alex.
Methamphetamine.
Come on, we're in Oregon.
Methamphetamine. There you go. Well done. Give me another synonym for crank or methamphetamine, Scotty.
Tanya Harding.
Crack.
No. See, crack is different. See, you're wrong.
Another thing for crank?
Yes.
They're trying to tell. I don't know.
Well,
you can call it meth.
You can apparently also call it ice, Scotty.
Ice?
Yes.
I tried to mouth ice to him. I don't know how I know that.
Me either.
Don't look at me, Sarah.
I have no idea.
I'm hearing you mouthing,
Scotty. I sleep at night, Dave.
She sleeps at night after a big bottle of dextromethorphan.
Now I understand what it means when people believe my ice.
Yes, yes. All right, Scotty. Special K. What is Special K?
You know what? I know this one.
No, you don't.
I've heard it before. Special K is a cereal that totally gets you cranked in the morning.
I can no longer pinch an inch. Special K, Scotty, is a medication used as an anesthetic in animals. Ketamine is what it is called. It's apparently a horse tranquilizer. Well, that sounds wonderful. Really? A horse tranquilizer?
Once again, making women more attractive across the country. That's
seriously?
That's a date rate, I think.
Really?
Well, yeah. Horse tranquilizer, you think?
I was just thinking the idea of a girl just suddenly saying, do you have any horse tranquilizer around? So it's
All right.
I don't understand why the kids these days are calling these drugs something to... Are they trying to throw us off?
Yes, well, I believe.
Yes,
successfully so, I would say.
Definitely.
Special K or vitamin C? I mean, what...
Vitamin C, I think, is a singer. All right, Scotty.
She sang that graduation song.
What? Yes, she did. What drug is referred to as antifreeze, Scotty? You got zero out of like
how
nine so far.
How much longer is this quiz?
Like
no
three more.
Is over.
Either, do you?
Mm-mm,
antifreeze.
I could take a guess.
Apparently, that's heroin.
Yeah.
Oh, he almost got it.
I totally was going to say that.
You weren't going to get that.
Scotty,
no.
I was going to get it.
All right, this one, we'll do two more, Scotty. What drug is referred to as a... I swear to God, I'm reading this from CBS News. A Georgia homeboy.
Okay, marijuana.
What?
No, the initials of that one. It's GHB.
Oh,
it's like carpet cleaner or whatever the hell.
Oh.
It's that same thing that they used
that's
to... Okay,
David Georgia homeboy.
All right, Carnal
carpet cleaner? Is that for real?
I think that's actually where it derives from.
I don't know.
All right, Scotty. Okay, I will give you this. This is the final one, and this is an easy one because we've had it before. Scotty, please to describe the combination of drugs that is referred to as... cheese or the cheese.
Or the cheddar.
Cheddar, yes.
I know, we talked about this.
Yes, we did.
In drug class here at the Rick Emerson Show. Didn't I already say methamphetamine?
Yes, but that's wrong. And you said it like an hour ago, so...
Cheese. It's some kind of stuff that's kind of like heroin, but it's not, and you inject it. Correct?
What? It is, in fact, heroin mixed with Tylenol PM.
There we go.
So there you go. So you've got like half of one right.
If the heroin doesn't make you sleepy.
Yeah, seriously.
That's awful.
I love that. I mean, really, when what world is heroin not strong enough for you?
I know, seriously.
I mean, I took a Tylenol PM last night.
When junkies get headaches, that's what they do.
Seriously.
Maybe they mix it so you get more quantity and you feel like you're buying something on the street
I'd be booking a room for one of your children right now, Scotty.
I got to keep abreast on this stuff. So thanks for educating me.
Thank you, Scotty J.
There you go, Scotty J.
All right. Let's welcome Davey Nipples also in the studio with us today. Davey and Storm. Hi there. How y'all doing?
Hello there, sir. How's you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It has been one of those days that is simultaneously where time is speeding up and slowing down.
Let me just take a moment to say, oh, my God, you interviewed Peter Criss.
How cool is that?
Uh-huh.
Best
and
show
then
ever.
Mandy Moore.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe Mandy Moore was... I feel like a pile of puke right now.
Rick Emerson.
Oh, my God.
Me too. Scotty, get me a pile of puke.
That
Rick
was
Emerson?
Awesome.
Yes.
Do you know what it's okay to do today?
Let me understand. Now, is this something to do with myself and boasting in some sort of a self-aggrandizing
Don't say
fashion?
It. Don't say it.
Say it.
Bragging on yourself.
Oh, God.
It's
oh
okay.
God. Oh, that is almost dead on.
I hate him.
And doesn't it seem like he exists just so Jeffrey Tambor can play him in, like, some major TV movie?
Yeah.
God. All right.
That is crazy.
Well, I want to go back just a couple minutes when you were saying TTFN. Remember that?
Yeah.
As I was pulling up. You know how lame I am from knowing what that phrase is?
No.
That is from, and you'll remember the name, Ta-Ta for now, but you will remember the name of the movie. It was Tawny Kitaen's first feature-length film, and it was called...
Well, not Bachelor Party.
Ouija.
I don't even know that. Really?
Ouija board, yeah.
No, I got nothing.
Well, she starts using a Ouija board.
Was it her first movie?
I think it was her first feature.
Was Tawny Kitaen in Bachelor Party? Am I thinking of somebody else?
I think
else?
That was... After, yeah, she was
know.
Tom Hanks' fiance. Okay,
that's
now.
Right, okay. And then that was around the Whitesnake era, right, when she was on the hood of the
right
car.
Right after the hood of the car thing, she did, I think, Ouija. Or someone's going to eat. I'm totally lame as well.
Because
I love horror movies.
I'm confusing Ouija with Witchboard. There was like Witchboard.
Oh, maybe it was Witchboard. Was it Witchboard?
There's been like five different Witchboard movies. And then there was... I think a TV show with what's her name, Yancey Butler or something. But I think,
oh yeah,
I think there was a Witchboard movie that had Tawny. Did she get nude?
I don't remember. I just remember she got some dark spirit came through and she started swearing a lot.
Fantastic.
She got drunk and beat up her boyfriend
with a shoe. Yeah, yeah.
It's all
so cool.
Oh wait, that was real life.
It's all just a blur. I have no. So yeah, so Sarah and I were talking about this during the break. That I can count on zero fingers the number of shows I can think of where you would have Peter Criss really back-to-back with Mandy Moore. That really is just sort of off the charts great and weird.
That is the coolest thing ever. It's perfect.
And that story he told about his parents driving by Madison Square Garden. How great. I mean, I'm just like weeping like a small child.
What a sweet guy.
The coolest guy, man.
That's so cool. And Mandy Moore was like... I like little blue birds were flying out of the radio, and little Valentine hearts were popping, and squirrels were running up to the radio.
She had the tape measure that said practically perfect in every way.
next time. Really?
She's going to be here on Saturday?
Yeah, Paula Cole. Her and Paula Cole at the Aladdin.
Well, she'll be done before I start.
Well, everything on Earth is happening Saturday because there's
guys.
Manny Moore. There's my friend Jen, her birthday. Aaron's wife is having her birthday. Your hot friend Kiki is having her birthday.
It's
that
true.
Pesky boyfriend won't be around. It's really going to be the best day ever.
Awesome.
Yeah, so, before I even forget about it, so what you guys, spill it.
We're at the Wonder Ballroom. It's the last balls show pretty much this year, because I'm going to be doing cabaret.
Yeah.
That is going to be so great.
I got some, let's see, this email says, somebody said something about the cabaret. I said, all caps, oh, God, pleased to be asking Storm about cabaret. This will be the best thing Portland's seen in years. Mm-hmm. Hot damn, it says.
No pressure there. I have to learn how to dance, and so I got with the rehearsals don't start till the end of the month, and so I begged the director to get me with the choreographer and said, listen, you're going to have to basically teach a horse how to fly. Because I've never danced before, so she's given me a couple of lessons, and so I'm not super scared anymore, but it's going to be interesting.
Now, it's exciting.
And I'm just going to throw myself on your mercy here because I'm completely ignorant. I really don't know much about cabaret. I mean, okay. I've heard it referenced a million times, but I didn't really know what it is. So can you kind of describe
it? It's a story. It's kind of like Bertolt Brecht's viewpoint of Berlin in 1930, right before Hitler took over. And Nazis invaded Poland and everything's right on the brink of World War II. And it's all takes place in this nightclub where everyone is just ignoring the anti-Semitism that's building and building and building and all the murmurs. And it's this crazy, garish, sexual, outrageous, indulgent, drinking, partying atmosphere. Meanwhile, the world's about to end. So it's pretty dark and sexy, and I have to make out with two weird guys.
Excellent.
I don't know what to do about
that.
I'm sorry, Davey.
I didn't read that part.
It's just open-mouth stage kissing, though, right?
I don't know. I've never done that. I've done a film where I had to kiss a guy one time, and this is, like, for all of my fans out there, you think I'm, like, this total, like, teenage bisexual vampire, and
I can't process all of this. You have to speak more slowly.
Did you visit a teenage bisexual vampire?
Yeah, really. And Davey and I both looked at each other. Please to explain.
Open mouth
stage kissing.
Oh, like no tongue, but, you know, you pretend like you're kissing.
Yeah.
Did you? Did you do drama? I don't know the answer to that.
No, I did when I was in Catholic school, like for a year.
That makes it even better.
I did theater in New York, and I always got my tonsils pulled out, you know, by people. I think they say don't use a tongue, but I think if a guy's going to have a chance.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, I'm sure those guys won't be using their tongues, Storm. They're going to be licking your face.
It's like Linda Hamilton in T2. Yeah, excellent. How old would I have been? Like maybe 15, something like that. Because I was a total drama nerd, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I remember being in some play in high school when I was like 15. And there was some scene where I had to kiss a girl. And I think this might have actually been before I had ever like kissed a girl in real life.
Wow.
And I do have this recollection. And it's actually kind of weird. This kind of sounds like one of those made-up penthouse forum stories. It doesn't sound like it could possibly be real. But this was actually before I had ever sort of kissed a girl in real life. And I've told that story before. But so we're doing this play. And there was this girl. And I remember, I won't name her, but I remember her name. Can picture it just to this day. And it was this sequence where we were like a husband and wife. And it's like, I come home from a hard day at work. And like, we kiss. And then the play, and you know, whatever. And I think in the script it was supposed to be just like a husband and wife, end of the day, like regular kiss. And so she's like, well, we should go, you know, she's like, well, we got rehearsal. Let's, you know, we should go, you know, work on our scenes together. I mean, you know, run lines or whatever. And I'm like, okay. And so we go into the drama teacher's office. And she was either like amazingly naive about how it was supposed to work, or she had just like somehow planned this out in advance. So we go into the drama teacher's office. She shuts the door. And I'm all like, so, okay, you know, and I open my script, and I'm totally, like, just a nerd machine, and I'm like, so, hi, honey, I'm home. And I swear to God, she, like, grabs me by the back of the head and, like, full-on gives me, like, the big probing, like, tongue kiss.
Were you guys the same age?
She was a year older than I was, I think.
You said you were 15?
I would have been, well, it would have been pre my real kiss, so I would have been probably a sophomore at the latest, probably a freshman.
That is so awesome. Was she cute?
Oh, yeah, she was totally hot. Yeah, she was really, I mean.
Oh, my God.
The reality might have been
so
different.
Cool.
At the time, she seemed really beautiful, and kind of in my memory, she still is. So I think, and I think she might have been a little crazy, too.
Yeah, maybe. Closing the door, and yeah, let's go over our lines and over
so
and
I don't
over
know whether
again.
I don't know whether it was like some, whether she thought that was like how it was supposed to be done. You know, she's like, well, we're supposed to kiss. We might as well kiss. Or if it was like some weird, like, Red Shoe Diary thing in her head. We're like, now I will corrupt an innocent.
So when this came to fruit and you guys did it live, did she pull the same
thing? Oh, no, she did the full-on same thing on stage.
Oh, wow. Man.
So how many times did you guys get to rehearse?
I think we kissed like three times. And all, this is so weird now that I think about it. I never really realized how weird this was until I'm telling it out loud now. And it totally sounds made up, but it's not. In the drama teacher's office, I think three different times, she's like, well, let's go rehearse again. I'm like, all right. You know, and so we go out, shut the door, full on making out.
Why are you in the office shutting the door, though? That's, she is like totally
rehearsing.
Did you realize that she was obviously trying to get you to make more of a move?
And I didn't, of course, because I was a retard.
Rick!
Well, I'm sorry.
We need to rehearse some more.
Guys are dumb
guys
and don't
take hits.
Guys need
to get hit with a tennis racket.
But even at that age, because it's like, I think... I am positive that it was before I had ever really kissed a girl in real life. So I had no idea. Like, I didn't know, like, you know, and now I cup the left buttock. Like, I had no...
No, I know, but did you...
You know...
Did you ever talk to her after the play?
No.
Because she probably thought you weren't into it. She's like, oh,
totally
I was rejected.
I blew it. I totally
did. Oh, my God. She wanted you to take off.
The funny thing is that it was completely, like, wrong for the play, too. I mean, that sounds so, like, highbrow, but it was totally wrong for the part. Like, it was just supposed to be a high...
Husbands and wives don't tongue each other.
And then, like, we're supposed to get right into the play, but I remember doing the actual performance, and I didn't know any better. So I'm like, so we're on stage at the actual performance, which is like a one night only thing. And I'm like, hi, honey. She's like, hello, dear. And then we're all on stage, and the audience laughed because it was so clearly like inappropriate.
Oh,
it was so clearly
God.
Not supposed to happen. Never happened again. And in retrospect, she never really talked to me again
because she wanted you, and you didn't know it until. Like 15, 20 years later, Rick, you should be ashamed.
Too late do I realize my folly.
Oh,
Rick.
Well, that sucked. Okay. Well, I mean,
Well, you know, it would have ended in all kinds of awkwardness and uncomfortable.
Seriously,
you've never kissed a girl, and all of a sudden this girl is like offering you.
I was going to be some stallion had it gone all the way. Like I was like, you know, let's go back in the prop room. 8 seconds of thunder.
Yeah.
I mean, really, like I'm, you know.
Big Rick's going to throw you some heat. Aww. 8 seconds of thunder.
That would have been a one-act play.
Oh, man.
Right.
Okay, that's enough of
All right.
You peaked 8 seconds of thunder.
Do we have to break?
Yeah.
Okay, here's what we'll do. We'll come back. We'll have some news with Tim Riley, more with Storm Lodge and Davey Neeples. And then if you guys want to stick around, we'll do the hunt for the second worst story you've ever heard.
Yeah.
Sweet. Got a great submission today. Back after this, The Rick Emerson Show. Stay right there. They see it well, but they think that saves us from our hair.
Time now for the show. Put on my makeup, away I go. I'll say a prayer that I will see you out there. So when the show is done, you'll take my hand away. We'll run along home to make supper so we can need each other. My lover, I'd rather be under than getting over you. That way you will never lose me ever. My lover, I'd rather be under than over you. That way you will never lose me. Blank staring at the road, 80 miles to Idaho. There's so much nothing in me but caffeine. My eyes strained to stay open. Fantasies, memories, hopes, and thoughts of you float through my waking dreams. Voices up ahead, gotta wake the voices.
It's the Rick Emerson Show. How great is that?
That is awesome.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Storm Large. Song is called Under You from Lady Like Side One, Storm Large. That's a hook right there.
Thanks.
Fantastic.
It's about Davey.
Oh.
Isn't that the squishiest, lamest thing ever?
I was going to say, is that or is that one of those? Is that about me? Yeah, of course, honey. I totally wrote that about. I was thinking of you the whole time. That's a great song.
Thanks.
That really is. I mean, anybody who knows me, I'm just a sucker for a big, loud pop hook.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. It really
Thanks.
Is. Ladylike, side one. The song is called Under You. We're here with Storm Large and Davey Nipples. We got a couple of...
Nipples.
I can't call it Nipples because it's a Ren and Stimpy thing.
It's always Nipples.
I even sign Nipples for you sometimes.
Sir, we just want to sell you some rubber Nipples. Like, that's totally the only way I see it in my head.
Call the police.
Do I know you? My wife and you? That's all that's the only Ren and Stimpy impression I can really do. I can't even really do Ren.
Right.
Not like Clyde Kent. I can only really do that guy. Fantastic. Sir, please. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson, the radio program. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, before I get to my clarification, when you were talking about your first kiss and stuff in theater.
Yes.
Kept making the reference that it was before your first real kiss, but dude, at that age, any kiss is your first kiss, man. We were all clumsy and stupid.
No, it's true. You get any port in a storm. And I think I speak for all men when I say that. Mandy Moore said this great thing in an interview, and she didn't mention this on the interview. She said this in an interview because we were kind of looking her up before the interview today. She said this great thing that she wished she could go back to the people who bought her first two records and give them all refunds because she didn't feel the records very good, and it was sort of, pop mold that she didn't want to be forced into, blah, 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 the same thing. I think a lot of guys feel that about, the first, 90% of all of their sexual fumblings between age of, whatever, 13 and, 20, whenever it is you finally figured out how to just not be retarded. Guys, I think they all think back, especially whoever it is that you first slept with, and it's just like you were just such a gibbering disappointment, And because that all those women think back, they're like, God, and then there was this one guy. Jesus. It was my bra was welded together or something, I mean... Seriously, I just want to write back postcards like, I'm sorry.
My first kiss at 15, when I finally found somebody to smooch on, I'm leaning in, and of course I stumble. We bang chins and ended up with her earring in my mouth.
Yeah.
So
sexy.
I was just like, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. Then apologizing.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to go kill myself. All right.
I think I made up for myself.
What's your clarification, sir?
Well, I could be wrong on this, and I really hate to contradict Storm because I'm a big fan.
But she'll beat you.
No. I don't remember.
Oh, I know she'll stab me.
No.
No, you're still beautiful. No, but I seriously, I believe the first time that we heard TTFN use was in Disney's version of Winnie the Pooh. I totally remember that scene from my youth. Roo's bouncing away with his mama Kanga, and he's like, all right, TTFN.
It's hard to believe that chicks weren't attracted to you.
No, just to clarify, I didn't think that was the first time I heard TTFN, not the first time it ever appeared in any kind of media. But,
cool. Sir, do you, if I may ask a personal question now, do you have a significant other now?
Not at the moment, but I'm hanging out with a few girls.
I would ratchet down the number of Winnie the Pooh references you make
definitely.
Out loud. I would. This is an okay place to do that. When you go out in the real world, I would scale back the number of Milne references you throw into your.
Shoot, I was a Disney kid at once.
That's true.
And quite frankly, if the girls can't handle the real me, then they're probably not good enough.
You know what? Good for you. Good for you.
Excellent. Because sir, it's not necessarily all right to talk about Winnie the Pooh, but you know what is all right, Chad?
What's that?
Bragging on yourself.
I wanted to call you so many times on that. He's like, hey, Rick, what's okay?
It's bragging okay.
on yourself.
All right. Thank you. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Let's do one more here. This is Clay. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi.
Hey.
I was just wondering if Davey's ever told the story about back in the day when he drove friends of his drove a truck through the crud house. That was a pretty good...
Through the what house?
The crud house.
We drove a truck in
finger
there?
Reaching towards the dump button. Do I need to...
No.
Okay.
You're talking about when they drove the car into the house?
The drug house.
It was
about
house. To be crud. Demolished in the house, so they took the...
Yeah, those were good times. That was in a little compound of a bunch of houses that a friend of ours owned. We called it the ghetto.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there was many, many crazy things, and one of the houses was being demolished, and so we took turns driving a Blazer into it.
Excellent. Those are the good times. Those are the times you'll never get back, Davey. All right. Thank you. Okay, and we're done. Between the time that call was screened and we took it, apparently, Scotty tapped the screen. I don't know who that is. Apparently, we lost the call that was there, and then somebody else called back in. Somebody wanted to know. I didn't know you were on Real Sex, Storm.
I was on Real Sex twice.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, now what? Now, can you, is this a thing that we can discuss?
Yes.
Can you
Yeah. The first time it was, have you ever heard of the Folsom Street Fair? It's a huge erotic live music thing in San Francisco. Mm. We did the Folsom Street Fair, and it's all fetishy and kind of gay, and so and lots of naked lesbians and chaps and stuff like that. So Real Sex filmed that, and they filmed a song. They filmed me on stage. And so when I saw them again a few years later, they said, oh, Storm, hey, how you doing? You still doing music? And they're talking to me about music and talking to me about my band and what's going on, and I have a record about to come out. Hey, can we talk to you for a few minutes on camera? So I think they're going to talk to me about music. And I'm with my boyfriend at the time, who was a very kind of shy guy. And they turn on the camera, turn on the light, stick a microphone in my boyfriend's face and say, so what is your technique on performing oral sex on Storm?
Nice.
And he just went yellow.
Oh.
And he's like, oh. And so we were prepared to talk about music, and we didn't know that it was going to be, well, obviously real sex. What are you going to do?
Yeah, seriously.
So I kind of took, as I am wont to do, mouthy loquacious one, I started kind of chatting up the camera about different things and oral sex being involved in how I'm kind of a woman of multiple areas that I can
you're a multi
enjoy myself. I'm double jointed on multi energetic.
You're like the trimet that goes to all zones. There are many zones.
There are many zones where you could find what you're looking for. I don't know what you could say on the thing.
Get in line, sister.
Right on.
Yeah.
So I was on, and now it's like the. They've done so many real sex episodes, but for some reason, that one keeps coming up.
Excellent. Is that with the first time, or was it the second time you were on?
That was the first time was when they filmed my band. Then the second time was years later, and they yeah.
Is that one of those things where it's like, you know, is it one of those things that you record or you film or, there's a picture you take when you're about 18 and you think that it's never going to turn up anywhere again?
Yeah.
And then they run it like every week until the end of time?
Well, they didn't even air the funniest bit, which was when they were asking me if I'd ever been with a woman and stuff like that. And I kind of described it for, I don't know if we want to put a delay on this. There's no swearing or anything. Should I wait?
Let me just put
it's legal.
Let me put my finger
legal?
Over the.
Here, Rick, I'll put my finger on
just,
okay.
Just get the Storm button ready.
Yeah.
Well, they asked me, they said, so it sounds like you've actually been with women before. And I said, yeah, you know, I've dabbled. I'm omnivorous. And they said, so as a woman, how would you describe performing oral sex on another woman? And I said, well, you know, it's you got to say it's kind of like making out with a baby.
No dumping.
You know, it's not.
I don't know.
I don't even know. But, you know, yeah. I bleep
Why?
That.
Why?
Because
you and the dump, I'm taking that thing away from you.
No, but I, you know, because people are going to think that I'm, you know, that I've
just, seriously.
No, it's but it is. If you think about it, it's a cleanish way of describing it.
I just really,
see you acting exactly like the cameraman did just that. He's like, I.
You know what it is? You hear the reason I dumped it? It's because I think when you said it, both and I'm no prude, but I think Sarah and I both kind of went. And pulled back a little bit and kind of went, oh. You'll have to listen to the podcast.
That's what I'm going to say. You can hear it on the podcast.
Seriously. I know Sarah accuses me of being way quick on the draw.
You're just like tapping away at that
and
thing.
And you guys,
all the time.
If you listen to that and you find that offensive, you go ahead to stormlarge.com and
excellent.
Discussion board and go ahead and tell me off. But
Jesus.
I'm telling you, I'm right.
All right. You know, never mind.
That's so funny.
That's way better than how Clyde describes it, by
metaphorically
the way.
Speaking, of course, we don't literally do that sort of thing.
It's
but,
true.
You know, it's a metaphor.
Not in this country. All right. Let's see. Okay, so we've got calls here, and I got the second worst story ever, Sarah. What say you?
Let's do a second worst story.
All right, and then if we have time, we'll get some more of these calls. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time. as you help us determine what is the second worst story in the history of the world. Now, there was a lot of, well, I won't say a lot. There was some discussion last time about this business of the boy who was impaled on his handlebars.
Oh, and I've been telling people that over and over again.
That's
the tube of fat.
The tube of fat, because it skewered him and it was hollow.
Oh,
they had
my.
To pull a tube.
And that happened to Aaron, too. And one of my handlebars doesn't have a cap on the end of it. And I think of that story every day when I remember
impaled
that.
On the end of his hollow handlebars, and there was a perfect tube of his fat that
Did
came out.
Did he die?
Of no.
Oh, that makes it even better.
Or worse, depending.
Yeah, depending on his parents.
All right, so we've got a new challenger. And by the way, these have all been sort of a piece lately. They've all been very similar. The challenger, it's different. The challenger is something
Nothing
that is totally...
Nothing in any weird orifices?
Well, we don't know that. You'll understand. All right, here is story number one and the champion. Unfortunately, Scotty, we'll have to clear out these lines unless they want to hang on and vote. So you'll either have to clear these phones or they'll have to... You'll have to transition them into the voting stage, right? All right, we will read story number one. As we get through story number two, please call 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970 as we endeavor to discover what is the second worst story in the history of the world. Here is story number one and the reigning champion. It's from Sky News. A 13-year-old boy is recovering in the hospital after the handlebars of his bicycle impaled his groin.
Oh!
In a freak accident.
There's fat down there?
Well, I suppose it depends.
Oh.
We do say this is part of the news segment here on AM 970, a news talk radio station, operating in the public interest, convenience, and necessity as mandated by the FCC.
Wow.
The youngster, who has not been named but who should be easy to identify, fell off the bicycle after clipping a curb on Canby Island in Essex. Paramedics called firefighters who... used torches to cut away the rest of the bicycle... leaving the handlebars in his groin. The handlebars were too deeply embedded to be removed at the scene.
Bars, plural. Plural bars.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know how...
on either side?
Well, it's British. I don't really know how that works over there.
You call them handlebars.
I know that...
those ones.
I know that they had to torture away the rest because they couldn't take them out there.
So did that cook the fat a little bit?
It smelled like bacon.
Sizzle, sizzle.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, they impaled him in the left side of the groin.
That's
by...
true, because if it's metal, and if they're heating it up with a torch, that
it
thing would burn you from inside
out.
Maybe that's how it slid out.
I don't know how long 18 centimeters is, but that's apparently what went into him.
That's a good
hunk.
6 inches or
that's
so.
That's a good chunk. Think about a Huffy, you know, the Huffy handlebars.
They said he did really well, all things considering. Firefighters said they could not use the specialist cutting equipment because the handlebars were so deeply impaled into the youngster's groin and thigh. And they specified the inner thigh, by the way. Fire crews used Allen keys to unbolt the bike from the handlebars, said a spokesperson. The handlebars remained in his leg and groin area. He was then taken to the hospital. Page two.
Don't you want that job, the spokesperson? There's a spokesperson for this accident.
All right. That's story number one.
Ugh.
Here's story number two.
Uh-oh.
And the challenger. This is not about anybody being impaled on anything, anybody having a hand fall into a piece of farming equipment. This is not about anybody having a plunger put into a sensitive part of their anatomy, nor is it about a pool cue being rammed into a man's...
thing.
Business. Pet spider kills its owner. But it gets so much worse.
Oh, I think I've heard this story.
This is from earlier in the year. This did not come out this week, but this is from earlier in the year. It's a real story from The Sun, which is the greatest newspaper in Europe. A man who lived in his own zoo of lizards and insects was fatally bitten by a pet black widow spider, then eaten by his other creepy crawly pets. Police broke into Mark Vogel's apartment to find the spider, named Bettina, along with 200 others, several snakes, a gecko lizard named Helmet, and several thousand termites gorging on his body.
You have pet termites?
Neighbors alerted police after becoming alarmed by a smell, and horrified officers were met with a nightmare scene. Police spokesman said it was like a horror movie. His corpse was over the sofa. And if you're not cringing now, giant webs were draped over him. Spiders were all over him. Wait for it.
No.
Oh, yes,
no.
Yes.
Coming out of his nose and mouth.
Yeah!
There was everything one could imagine in this world of reptiles. Oh, it's not, that's not even the worst sentence. Who wants to hear the worst sentence in the story?
I do. Bring it.
Larger pieces of his flesh had been torn off by lizards and were then scooped up and taken back to the web of tarantulas and bird-eating spiders.
Are you kidding? That cannot be real.
Apparently,
yes, it is.
Apparently, he'd never invited people back to his jungle home. One tarantula had built a nest the size of a swallow's nest in a corner of the ceiling. Vogel also had a boa constrictor and several poisonous frogs.
Oh. Understood, so they all got out?
He'd been, the heating elements...
He lived in the, like, the, amongst them.
The heating elements on two tanks containing spiders had exploded and dislodged the tops, allowing all the animals to escape. He had been dead for 14 days.
Oh.
There you go, there's story number two. We'll now take your votes. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Story number one, boy impaled on handlebars.
Mm.
Story number two, pet spider kills owners. He is then devoured. 503-733-2970. We will discover which of these stories ye find to be the worst. 503-733-2970. We'll just go right to the phones here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Okay, two things. First, 18 centimeters is about 7 inches.
Oh, that's no good.
Oh.
Okay. Secondly, just for the grand Guggenau epic proportions of it, number two is worst.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
But,
all right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Number two is by far the worst. I don't ever want you guys to ever have to play that again.
Excellent.
Ever.
Excellent. Thank you, my friend. All right. We'll just take these as they come in. It's 503-733-2970. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
I vote for the old man falling on the plunger.
You can't keep voting for that. All right. Thank you.
Plunger.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio show. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Number two.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. I sense a blowout coming.
Large chunks of his flesh from the webs.
Carried away by tarantulas.
Tarantula nest the size
and
of a swallow nest.
Spiders.
Yeah. Mm. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson show. Thousands of termites. Hi, which story do you find to be the worst, sir or madam?
Oh, dear God, number two. I hate spiders.
Excellent. Fantastic. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst, sir or madam, as the case may be?
Oh, anytime your pets are gorging on you, that's got to be the worst.
Really, the word gorge is unpleasant, too,
yeah.
Isn't it? You know what I mean? Because that's not just an eating until
you tide
it over.
Yeah, they're bacchanalian partying in his intestines.
They've got a vomitorium set up in the corner so they can come back. All right, thank you. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Now, I will never admit that I've never been bit by a black widow spider.
Yeah.
But that guy got bit, then he died, and all that happened. This kid had to go into his groin, people. I got to go with number one still. Groin.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. First vote for the groin story. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson show. Which story is the worst?
Yeah, story number one.
Really? Now, what is your thinking there?
Well, just like the last guy, he survived.
Okay.
And he has to remember that the rest of his life.
And his friends are going to remind him that he's the handlebar groin kid. Yeah.
All right.
All right. We'll clear out this bank here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Which story is the worst?
Oh, most definitely number two.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, my friend.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's see. Three more calls. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson show. Which story is the worst?
That would be number one, because when you're dead, it doesn't hurt anymore.
Thank you. All right. Two more. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson show. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Oh, number two. Nothing worse than having creepy crawlies coming out of your mouth and nose.
And to be
the guy to have to pick up the body, you know that pushed a lot more out.
Oh,
He probably fell apart.
Oh. Not to say that.
Oh.
He probably fell apart in nice hand-sized chunks.
Pushed a lot more out.
Oh, like E.G. Marshall
pushed
at the end of Creepshow?
Out?
Yeah, seriously. I hadn't thought about that, actually.
It is like Creepshow.
Yeah, with E.G. Marshall?
Oh, yeah. The bugs.
Yeah, totally.
The bugs are going to get you.
You got bugs, Mr. Pratt?
All back there. My Romero fans in the house. Last call. Hi, Rick Emerson show. Mr. Pratt!
And I vote for the bugs, but yeah. I was really disappointed when the old man falling in the plunger didn't win a couple weeks ago.
All right. Thank you. Bye now. All right. There you go. All right. The champion and new winner, or winner and new champion, is Pet Spider Kills Its Owner from the Sun. There you go. Fantastic. And again, the key line from this, giant webs draped over him. Spiders were all over him. They were coming out of his... nose and mouth. Back after this to wrap it up with Storm Large, Davey Nipples. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay there. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Like us next. Like us 101 at 5, Donna Mike at 7. Join us tomorrow and we will have Aaron Geek in the City Duran, I think. Or is it Scott Dowling? I don't know.
We had Aaron last week.
All right. Scott Dowling in the studio with us tomorrow. All right, let's see. Let's get sneaking one final call here. Hi, Jerry. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Well, hi, Rick. This is Jerry, and I just got in the car and realized that was Storm Large on the program.
Indeed it was, Jerry.
Oh, my God. I love her CD. I saw her at Pride, and she was just hot. And then I picked up that CD, and I swear I cannot get those songs out of my head. Love them.
So you, there you go. You've infested Jerry's brain like
thank you, Jerry.
Musical tapeworm.
No,
that's
thank
so
you,
cool.
Storm.
You're welcome.
Right.
Are you coming on Saturday?
When are you going to be Saturday?
Wonder Ballroom, baby.
Wonder Ballroom. How much?
You know, I don't know.
Really? But there is no price. You cannot put no price on Storm.
I don't know how much it is, but our friends Cleveland are playing with us again, of course.
Yeah.
And we have our friends band Castella opening the show. So you got to come. It's an early show. It starts around 8 o'clock, and you got to come. Bring all your friends.
Oh, that's perfect, because I go to work so early in the morning. That's great. Thank you, Storm.
See you Saturday.
Cool. Thank you, Jerry.
All right.
And the Wonder is the perfect venue for you guys. I've seen you play there a couple times now. It's your venue.
It's awesome. I love it. It's really comfortable, and it's everybody
and
there is really
the balcony
cool.
balcony and everything, too.
There's food downstairs.
Excellent.
I love food.
More information.
I like Kendall.
I like lamp.
And carbon monoxide leak or something. I saw somebody the other day wearing a shirt that said, like, I heart, and then a picture of a lamp, which was great. So.
Oh, that's great.
Let's see. Stormlarge.com for more information, of course.
Absolutely. And I'm going to give you, Rick, 5 pairs of tickets to give away between now and Saturday.
Thank you. Excellent. And then when is Cabaret? When does that start?
Cabaret, the opening night is the 25th of September.
Cool.
So,
we'll be talking more about it, I guess.
Yeah, I'm home now, so I'll be around.
Very cool. All right, for more information, go to stormlarge.com. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, and of course, Davey Nipple, Storm Large, Mandy Moore, Peter Chris. Am I leaving out probably the 50 other people it feels like we had on today?
Probably.
Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, PA extraordinaire. Let's give it up for Scotty J, by the way.
Yeah!
All right, Dave Zinn's the gatekeeper. See y'all tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Be safe and love the best. You're going to watch your best. Bye now.
And like that.